owner of Manchester United, accused of some foul comments. Sir Jim Ratcliffe told Sky News...
You can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and huge levels of immigrants coming in. I mean, the UK's been colonised.
That's caused outrage. Maybe he wants to look at his starting 11 earlier this week. Only three were from the United Kingdom. Update on that school stabbing.
We're told the suspect in a double school stabbing in northwest London was a former student and was arrested near to a mosque. I'm LBC's Fraser Knight with the details.
That comes as every child caught with a knife will get tailored support in a new government initiative. And we're just seconds away from those all-important economic growth indicator figures being announced. And you'll hear them here as well. 7 o'clock news on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Downing Street says the Manchester United co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe should apologise for his comments about immigration. Number 10 says the billionaire's remarks play into the hands of those who want to divide our country. LBC's reporter Guy Stewart has more details.
Sir Jim, who lives in Monaco, believes Britain's economy is in a bad place and linked it to people coming from other countries.
The UK has been colonised by immigrants, really, isn't it? I mean, the population of the UK was 58 million in 2020. Now it's 70 million.
Official figures show the population was estimated at 67 million in 2020. Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer has called the comments offensive and wrong.
Canadian police have identified the person who shot dead eight people in a small town in British Columbia. They were killed at a school and nearby home in Tumbler Ridge on Tuesday. Officials say 18-year-old Jesse Van Rootseler was known to the authorities. The Culture Secretary, Lisa Nandy, has told LBC that Labour needs to change as the Prime Minister faces renewed questions about his judgment. Sir Keir Starmer has been accused of allowing paedophile apologists into government after giving one of his former aides a peerage. Lord Doyle has apologised for his ties to the former Labour councillor, Sean Morton, who is a convicted sex offender. But Ms Nandy has told us internal investigations are taking place.
The Prime Minister has said that he will strengthen the vetting procedures. I know that people have questions to answer about what happened in that period between the Prime Minister putting Matthew Doyle forward for a peerage, the story appearing and then the peerage being confirmed. My understanding is that there is currently no precedent for withdrawing a peerage once it's been put forward and gone through the vetting process.
Sir Keir Starmer says Lord Doyle did not give a full account of his actions over his ties to Morton. Draft legislation to clamp down on foreign funding of political parties is being brought to the Commons by the government today. The bill will also extend voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds in all UK elections. And Nottingham Forest are looking for their fourth boss of the season after sacking Sean Dyche. Forests are just 3 points above the Premier League relegation zone after being held to a goalless draw to the bottom side Wolves last night. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,472 after closing up 118 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow at times, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
At Lidl, we value getting everyone round the table this pancake day. Make sure to top up on toppings from the fresh produce retailer of the year, us. Such as a 4-pack of lemons and fun-sized apples. Both for just 69p with Lidl Plus. Lidl, more to value. Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only. Offer ends 18th the 2nd, 26.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after 7, Thursday, February the 12th. Another day, another paedophile scandal engulfing the Prime Minister. I actually can't believe the words I've just said. But he knew his pick for a peerage had backed a sex offender. Of course, this is, I say again, the supposedly forensically trained barrister who seems absolutely unable, just believes everything he's told, has no degree of curiosity whatsoever, it would appear, from one world leader to another, to Canada. Their Prime Minister Mark Carney speaking yesterday following that mass shooting. It's now discovered that the shooter was a biological male but was transitioning. Prime Minister Carney.
We will get through this, we will learn from this, but right now it's a time to come together, as Canadians always do in these situations, to support each other, to mourn together, and to grow together.
Back in the UK and indeed in London, that school stabbing suspect up at the school in Brent is a former pupil. This comes as the government will launch a new initiative, and we're going to hear from the relevant minister how children caught with a knife will get what's called tailored support. How exactly might that work? Stay tuned, more in this hour. Staying on the crime beat.
LBC's been told gangs from South America and Europe are fueling a surge in attacks on jewellers across the UK. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the details in Richmond.
That important growth figure is in. It dropped about 2 minutes ago, and it's 0.1% for the fourth quarter of 2025. And I suppose you could argue it could have been worse, but it's not the sort of growth that we were promised some 18 months ago, is it? But someone whose bank account is about to grow. Superstar Britney Spears sells the rights to her back catalogue for a cool £150 million.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
If we haven't reached the tipping point for Sir Keir Starmer already, it surely can't go any worse, can it? When I heard this yesterday, and bear in mind I've been around this business for decades, four plus decades, that he's done it again. Sir Keir Starmer nominated a former advisor for a peerage despite being told that he provided a paedophile, the peer, by the way, not Sir Keir, provided a paedophile counsel with support because he, Doyle, Lord Doyle, former director of communications in Downing Street, believed in his innocence. And clearly, Sir Keir Starmer is lacking of any sense of curiosity. We are now run by this country is now run by a bloke who just takes on face value everything he's told. As I've said before, if anyone's got a spare bridge, I want to sell it to him. And I say for the third, this forensically skilled barrister, he's absolutely gullible. Now, here's one of the exchanges from Prime Minister's questions yesterday. Leader of the Opposition, Kemi Badenoch, trying to find out from Sir Keir why he handed Matthew Doyle, the former director of GOMS, the peerage, despite knowing he'd stayed friends with that councillor.
A few weeks ago, he announced a peerage for one Matthew Doyle, his former director of communications. Immediately after that, the Sunday Times published on the front page that Doyle campaigned for a man charged with child sex offences. Yet despite the Prime Minister knowing this, he gave Doyle a job for life in the House of Lords anyway. Why?
Yeah. Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, Matthew Doyle did not give a full account of his actions. And on Monday, I promised my party and my country there would be change. And yesterday, I removed the whip from Matthew Doyle. I'll tell you what other action we've taken, Mr. Speaker. Along with the safeguarding minister, I and this government have introduced the most far-reaching Violence against women and girls strategy. And I'll tell you what else we've done. This government is introduced a pay rise for millions of working class women. Yeah. What did the Leader of the Opposition do? She opposed it. This government's introducing greater protection for women at work. What did the Leader of the Opposition do? She opposed it. And I tell you what else she opposes. This government removing the disgusting rape clause that they put in place. Yeah.
But it was, for once, Sir Ed Davey, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, really seemed to rattle Sir Keir.
Mr. Speaker, to appoint one paedophile supporter cannot be excused as misfortune. To appoint two shows a catastrophic lack of judgment. The Right Honourable Gentleman once told this House that when a Prime Minister refuses to take responsibility, and I quote, it only serves to convince people that things cannot get better, that governments cannot improve people's lives, and that progress is not possible because politics does not work. Does he still agree with himself? And does he share my fear that is exactly what is happening now?
Minister,
people in this country, millions of people, have been let down for years and years and years. And one of the reasons was austerity, which his party supported. He should take accountability and take responsibility for what he has inflicted on this country.
Surrender, David.
Mr. Speaker, I think I touched a raw nerve.
Let's bring into the conversation Sir Mel Stride, Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, joining me now. Sir Mel, there is no measure for this, but how rattled do you think Sir Keir Starmer was yesterday? Good morning to you.
Good morning. I think flailing around, you know, if you listen to those answers there, he gets asked very direct questions, which are all about his judgment about being in office but not in power. And making all those mistakes, and yet he starts talking about the past and what happened in 2010, 11, 12, and austerity and all those kind of things. He's up on the ropes, and I think the clock is now ticking as to how long he's going to survive.
You won't be offended when I say you've been around for a few years. Have you ever seen a free fall like this so quickly for a Prime Minister?
Never. If you think, you go back just over a year ago, Labour come in with one of the largest landslides, certainly in terms of seats, in the history of this country. And yet they have made such a hash of it in such a short period of time. And I think it speaks to just a total lack of planning, that they didn't really know what they were going to do when they came into office, certainly on the economy. And we've just had some latest growth figures out this morning, which are very underwhelming. And as Wes Streeting has been revealed to have said to Peter Mandelson a little while ago, that's because Labour do not have a plan for growth. And I think that kind of sums up the whole operation, really.
Politically, I understand why you're saying what you're saying as Shadow Chancellor, but we all want this country to work. And as the government is focused on these crises inside, unemployment is going up, growth is virtually stagnant, the country is suffering. Isn't that the reality, Sir Mel?
Yeah, totally. And so you're making exactly the right point. We have complete and utter chaos. The focus is not on the things that really matter to people up and down this country. It's all on this incredible lack of judgment. Peter Mandelson and his appointment as our US ambassador, despite his connections to Epstein. A similar situation with Lord Doyle and his support for somebody who was being charged at that time with having indecent images of young children and so on. All of this, a massive distraction to the really serious problems that our country has. You know, what we've got to do, Nick, is we've got to get on top of things like the welfare bill, get people off benefits, get them into work. If you do that, then you can get taxes down. If you get taxes down, you can get businesses thriving and employing people, and you can get growth going, and we can all be better off. But none of that is happening because they are now inward-looking at all these crises that are swirling around the Prime Minister.
Last minute or so together, quick word, we touched on it briefly, a quick word on the growth figures. The fourth quarter of last year, 0.1%. Pretty much in line, I think, was what it was expected, but Sir Mel?
Well, the problem is, Nick, that whilst it's in line with expectations were very low for the reasons that I've given. 0.1% is nothing to write home about at all. It comes on top of the last 3 month rolling figure of 0.1%, and the one before that was the economy being entirely flat. These are very disappointing figures. And as I say, unless they can get a grip on spending, get taxes down, get regulation out of the way of businesses and really do things that are about growing the economy, then I'm afraid we're just going to see more and more of this. We've got unemployment now at a five-year high, youth unemployment going up through the roof, and we've got businesses who are really struggling, particularly in the leisure, hospitality and retail sectors, shedding tens of thousands of jobs.
Finally, one business that's not suffering is, of course, Sir Jim Ratcliffe's business, the co-owner of Manchester United. A comment on what he said, that the country is being colonised by immigrants. Sir Mel?
Well, I wouldn't use that phraseology. I wouldn't say colonised because I think it sounds like there's some kind of nefarious reason behind people coming to our country, which is not the case. But he is certainly speaking to something that is of huge concern to people up and down the country, and that is high levels of migration. Which is why at the tail end of the last Conservative government we did bring in changes to the visa requirements that have actually seen those numbers very dramatically.
But he's got his figures wrong, Sir Mel.
He suggested that there'd been a 12 million increase in the size of the population from 2020 when it's only about 3 million.
But so you're broadly supportive of his sentiments, just to clarify.
I think the sentiment, let me choose my words carefully. I think I'm certainly supportive of the notion that people are rightly concerned about the level of migration into our country, which is why we did bring in changes at the tail end of the last government that have seen those numbers substantially fall. There is more work to do, and certainly on illegal migration, where, of course, we have very strong proposals to deal with that as well.
Have to let you go there, Shadow Chancellor Exchequer. Sir Mel Stride, thank you. 13 after 7. Listening to that is Gabriel Pogrand, who is the journalist who first broke the story concerning Matthew, now Lord Doyle's association. Gabriel is Whitehall editor at the Sunday Times, joins me now. For people who didn't perhaps read your first copy, just remind everyone, Gabriel, what you found out in the background to the story. Morning to you.
Morning. Hopefully a reasonably abbreviated summary is as follows. Matthew Doyle was Keir Starmer's chief spin doctor, his director of communications, and like many people, relieved of their duties by the PM. He was sent to the upper chamber, given a peerage, or nominated for a peerage, that is a lifetime seat in the House of Lords. Once that news, the news of the imminent appointment, was published, there were people who approached Morgan McSweeney, that man who we've heard much about, and his successor, a woman by the name of Jill Cuthbertson, saying that this Matthew Doyle man has a secret, and it's a secret that you ought to know about now rather than once the ink has dried on the page of the letters patent. This is a bit ridiculous now, but it is the piece of parchment or formal document that gives effect to a peerage. Essentially, they were saying you need to know about this before going ahead with this appointment. And what that was that Matthew Doyle, back in 2017, had not just stood by an alleged paedophile, Sean Morton, who'd been charged with accessing indecent images of girls as young as 10, and also of witnessing footage, viewing and obtaining footage of adults sexually abusing animals, but that he had gone far further than that. And even as Morton was charged with these crimes, even as he'd been thrown out of the Labour Party, Doyle had vigorously campaigned for him to be re-elected as an independent councillor, that is, a public office, a role of high trust, in North East Scotland. And I asked them at the time whether they what they made of that. I knew they'd been warned. I also asked them when the friendship had ended. They were refused to address that at all. All they told me was that this matter was thoroughly investigated and that Doyle passed all relevant tests. Well, now we know that it wasn't, and he didn't.
What's your understanding, Gabriel? Could it have been stopped, these letters of parchment, whatever you said? Would there have been an opportunity to block his elevation?
The simple answer, according to the House of Commons clerks who've communicated with the Conservative Party over the last few days, is yes. Number 10 has said there's no precedent for doing so, but also there's probably not precedent for this kind of information emerging during this period. Essentially, it's the period between the nomination and the, you know, final approval. But it seems as though if Downing Street had gone to the palace and said, you know, listen, Chas, we don't want to proceed with this peerage, please don't issue the relevant documents, that would have been entirely fine. There's no actual reason why they could not have just said, we don't want to proceed with this anymore, we'd rather give it a bit more time and re-examine.
Gabriel Pogrin is the Whitehall editor at the Sunday Times who first broke that story. Thanks for your time. We'll come to more of your views on that, and coming up at last, just after half past, an analysis of those all-important GDP figures as well. 7:16 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer has called on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. Authorities have identified the suspect in one of Canada's deadliest mass shootings. And official figures show the UK economy grew by 0.1% in the last 3 months of 2025. LBC weather cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M20 westbound heading towards Junction 9 at Ashford. There's been an accident and one lane is closed. Still very slow on the A13 westbound to the Five Bells interchange at Basildon. It was after an accident that happened earlier. All the lanes have been open for a while, but it's still very slow. Also delays in Ilford on Ilford Hill going westbound to the North Circular Road junction. That's also following an accident. And in Putney, Putney High Street's very busy both ways after an accident. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency works. There are delays northbound to Battersea Bridge and also Chelsea Bridge, and on the underground, severe delays on the District and Hammersmith and City lines and minor delays on the Circle line.
This is LBC.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix, by delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house, and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly. To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
Train to Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie! Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look, that one's the plough.
Shooting star! Oh, wow!
Made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Psst. Hey, dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you're tired of dry, tasteless kibble or slop that plops out of a tin, you're going to want to hear this. Butternut Box makes only the freshest dog food with juicy meat and tender veg. It's the kind of food that makes dogs tongue out, running around the kitchen happy. Let's hope your human heard this too. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, come to your reaction. Yet another judgment day for Sir Keir Starmer at House of Commons, and he doesn't emerge particularly successfully. Front pages of your newspapers, this is reflected by, not all, but some of them. The Daily Mail takes a different aspect. Labour women's fury over second paedophile crisis. That also brought that line brought out by The Guardian. Select female deputy to end boys' club in number 10. The Times, more basic fact for the facts of the story, PM knew his peerage pick had backed sex offender. It's quite extraordinary. The other big front page story are the marks made by Sir Jim Ratcliffe, and we will come to a full conversation about that, I assure you. Outrage at Prembos is the Daily Mirror. Shameful. It's also on the front page. That was the Daily Mirror, front page of the Daily Express. UK colonised by migrants. That's in quotes, as in quotes from Sir Jim, claims United Chief to the website, and that is the story that is leading on the LBC app, or the invention of Sir Keir Starmer. Offensive and wrong. Prime Minister calls on Man United owner to apologise. Let's look at one other website around. The Independent going with this line as well. Women MPs turn on Starmer over boys' club scandal. I mean, let me ask you this. Would it... I mean, it is perhaps unfortunate that he doesn't have... Angela Rayner is no longer his deputy. I'm not casting any aspersions towards David Lammy, but it might be helpful if there's one. Would that make a huge difference in your mind? Is that what is required? We'll take your views on that in just a minute. This is what you're saying on the social media, on the text as well. This comes in from Joe. Surprise, surprise, the more you hear from Sir Keir Starmer, the more he seems to be getting things wrong. Does he actually manage to get anything right? Meanwhile, I have to say here that Paula says, will you stop beating up on the Prime Minister? He and his colleagues are trying to put right everything that the Conservatives got wrong. You need to cut them more slack. Those two opposing views, we'll have more on that in a moment. But let's get to another story which doesn't get on today's front pages. It did yesterday, which the developments in that the school stabbing that took place in Brent in London involving those two pupils. LBC's Fraser Knight joins me now with an update. Fraser, good morning.
Nick, good morning. Counter-terrorism police last night gave us some more details about the 13-year-old suspect who's in custody. The boy, who was born in the UK, is a former pupil at Kingsbury High School in Brent, where this attack happened. And he was arrested near to a mosque in northwest London almost 4 hours after the stabbing of two children. The 12 and 13-year-old victims, we're told, are in a serious but stable condition in hospital now, leaving parents like this dad of two girls shocked.
My kids are scared, very scared. One of them still doesn't want to come tomorrow, but I brought them here so that they can see everything is just back to normal. Hopefully there will be more security around, so let's see how she will feel.
Now, officers also told us what they believe happened inside the school on Tuesday, saying an attacker entered the building at around 12:30 p.m., went upstairs to a classroom where they say a pupil was sprayed with a substance, some form of non-noxious substance. The 13-year-old boy was then stabbed with a knife in that classroom before the attacker ran downstairs and stabbed the 12-year-old boy on his way out. Schools Minister Georgia Gold yesterday told LBC she wouldn't rule out looking again at security protocols.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, is already something we're very focused on, ensuring our schools are safe places and tackling knife violence. There is an investigation going on, but if there's things that emerge from that that we need to go further on, we won't hesitate to do so.
Now, this still hasn't been declared terrorism, Nick. Police say they are keeping an open mind. And when we asked them, they said they still can't confirm the reports of an attacker saying Allahu Akbar before stabbing those children, or the reports that he was wearing the school's uniform. But they say they are still working through around 40 witnesses, many of them, of course, very young children.
Fraser Knight reporting. In a related story we'll look at later in the hour, children caught carrying a knife by police will face compulsory mentoring instead of being prosecuted as part of a government plan to drive down reoffending. We'll hear from the relevant minister on that later in the hour. Let's come back to our conversation about Sir Keir Starmer. Terry's in Bournemouth. Terry, the problems he encountered yesterday, where does that, in your view, where does that leave him now? Good morning.
It leaves him completely exposed, and quite rightly, Nick. I just want to make a point. Mm. I actually got actively involved in Bournemouth canvassing for Labour, and we actually got our first Labour MP in Bournemouth.
Oh, right.
And I'm absolutely just disgusted, disillusioned, not only with the way they're running the country, but this I call it pedo-gate. I don't know whether it's a headline or what, or somebody else has used it, but it really is. It's absolutely disgraceful that people can carry on like this and just get away with it. So I'm on my way to work. I teach at the moment kids how to become electricians.
Right.
And the rest of the staff, the rest of the people in this country that are just going about their lives, living ordinary lives, and it seems to be this whole group of elites. It doesn't seem to matter whether they're red or blue, besides of the political. They should not be getting away with this, and certainly not getting peerages. It's absolutely disgraceful.
Let me ask you that. Let me ask you this. Why did you decide, prior to the last general election, why did you decide to get actively involved?
Because I'd had enough of Tory sleaze, and I've had enough. I've never voted Tory in my life, but I've had enough of that. There was just a blatant abuse of the British public in terms of taking us all for granted, all the work we do, and whether we're white, English, or we're immigrants or whatever. And I'm just touching on what you were talking about earlier.
Yes, we're going to talk about
in
that.
In and out of public service, the health service, the railway, transport, and there's people from all over the world, there's people from different parts of this country working and trying to do the right thing, and then there's this lot lording it up, and they're just getting... How do you get a peerage, for heaven's sake?
Because you lose your job, and that's the way they sweeten the pill. Do you regret
if I ever lost my job, I'll have a peerage for being a teacher.
No, I'm afraid you won't. Do you regret the work you did for the Labour Party now, then, Terry?
I don't regret the work that I did in principle to get a change of government, but I really, really, really want to see something tangible and workable. I'm not an extremist. I'd like to see a little bit more real Labour come back in.
Right.
And I think it's worth, I really think, from a Labour member, it's worth the upheaval of getting a new leader elected as soon as possible, for the country and for the party.
Lastly, you say you train youngsters to, is it going to electricians, become electricians?
Yeah, to become electricians.
How busy are you with that? Have we got lots of young people coming through who want to take up that profession?
It's getting steadily busy, and a little interaction I've had with Mr. Ian Dale and his former colleague Jackie Smith, who's now Baroness Jackie Smith.
Yes.
I do know that they are, some people in the government, like Jackie and the education department, absolutely committed to putting money into education, and we're starting to get numbers up. We're starting to get.
And is there work for them? Lastly, once they're trained as electricians, is there plenty of work out there?
There seems to be plenty of work. The problem is this. Is finding actual tangible apprenticeships for them. When I did my apprenticeship, I was on British Rail, but we had British Gas, we had British Rail, we had lots and lots of nationalised industries that used to take hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of apprentices on, and it doesn't really exist anymore. The mums and dads, the guardians, they're fighting to get their kids into apprenticeships and companies are reluctant to take them on. But what...
I will leave it there, Terry. Thank you for your views. Have a good day teaching those youngsters. 7:28. Thanks again, Terry. Peter in Battersea. Peter, your reaction to what you heard yesterday with
the PM? The last caller there saying that people are red or blue. You don't care for red or blue. I mean, what a statement that is. There's no people who are blue or red. Anyway, but yeah, I just think that we should definitely change Starmer.
Right.
And it just shows, I mean, this, what did you call it? Is it pedo gay or something
that? It's just a second paedophile that he's helped promote. He's ennobled, in fact.
He's just absolutely.
His judgment is shot. His judgment is
absolutely shot, yes, Nick. We need to get maybe reforming, and if they don't work, which I don't think they will do, I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't think anybody knows what we're going to do. Remember, we started the week by being told by Alistair Campbell that we've become effectively ungovernable. I don't know that reform have the answers either, but I do know that this man now is really has to be clinging on. He cannot get anything right. Peter, thank you. Mark in Leeds, did Starmer seriously blame appointing a paedophile sympathiser as US ambassador and giving another a peerage? Just to say that that's a supporter, by the way. We weren't accusing Lord Doyle of anything inappropriate other than supporting a PMQs. You had to see it to believe it. As Mark in Leeds says, it was unbelievable. All right, we'll stay with that. Also, coming up after the news, as regards those GDP figures...
Some breaking news this morning as the latest figures show the UK economy basically ground to a halt towards the end of last year. GDP grew just 0.1% in the last few months of 2025. I'm Christian May from City AM discussing this shortly.
But someone who is in the money... That is, of course, Britney Spears, who sold her back catalogue for £150 million. But where does that put her alongside other artists who've done similar deals, such as Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan and Sting? I'll give you the league table after this. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News. Time, Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer has called on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. In an interview, Sir Jim suggested the Prime Minister was too nice to do difficult things to stabilise the economy. Authorities in Canada have identified the suspect in one of the country's deadliest mass shootings. Police say they've previously dealt with 18-year-old Jesse van der Rootselaar over mental health concerns. And official figures show the UK economy grew by 0.1% between last October and December. The data is in line with what economists predicted for the final quarter of 2025. LBC weather cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow. A high of 12 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
Why has Keir Starmer appointed Matthew Doyle to the House of Lords? Does he keep making the same mistake with people who probably shouldn't be promoted to positions of such power?
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Hey, you. Do you ever think the old you wants a new you? You do?
Well, we do, too.
Our one-stop
Wondershake
guarantees you a new body, face, and personality. Your friends won't even recognize you. But don't worry. With
Wondershake,
you'll make better, hotter friends. And just like in some...
Really? Don't fall for fads this January. Holland & Barrett give you the facts. Get expert advice on nutrition, supplements and skincare that actually give your body the nourishment it needs. Holland & Barrett.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen? It's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Yeah, I'm one of their biggest fans. I've got all the vinyl. First saw them at a tiny little place in Camden. Then as festival headliners a few years back. Oh, now that was special. So there's no chance I'd miss their world tour in London, Lisbon and LA! Good thing I've been saving!
From down the road to across the globe, saving gets you there. Join the millions of people already saving with NS&I. Visit NSandI.com.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. They're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. for pet insurance policies as unique as they are. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34 is the time. We'll come back to our conversation about Sir Keir Starmer caught up in another paedophile scandal. Extraordinary again. His advice, his judgment called into open question. And then the judgment of another. Tale of two knights, isn't it, Sir Keir Starmer and Sir Jim Ratcliffe with his views on the colonisation of this country. A rather ugly word. He has got his facts, some, not all, he's got some of his facts and his figures wrong. But as we heard from, actually, a third knight, everybody gets it. Sir Mel Stride saying the basic thrust of Sir Jim's argument is right. That's coming up later in the show. Now, we started the show, we started the hour with those figures, or the figure for growth. Christian Mayer's editor-in-chief at City AM, he'll remind us of the figure, more importantly, of course, interpret it. Christian, morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. Yes, I'm just looking through my inbox there, all the various analyst and economist reaction to those growth figures that mark the end of the year, October to December 2025. The words that I see in my inbox this morning are lackluster, barely keeping head above water, tepid. I think you get the gist. The expectations actually were that the final few months of the year would see a GDP growth rate of about 0.2%, and we'd sort of made our peace with that. It was, in fact, 0.1%. So in the final 3 months of the year, the services sector, a dominant part of our economy, Nick, showed no growth at all. That was flat. Manufacturing was a little bit of a bright spot when you had companies returning to operations after cyber attacks, etc. In the automotive sector, there was a little bit of growth in that sector, 1.2%. Construction, house building as well, down 2.1%. So they also revised down the monthly rate of growth for November. They had thought it was a little bit higher. It turned out to be a little bit slower. This all means that over the course of last year, the economy appears to have grown by about 1.3%.
And Rachel Reeves is saying that puts us ahead of the rest of Europe. Is that a fair interpretation or rather rosy view?
Well, you know, you can certainly make the case when you line it all up that if all countries are struggling, the one who's struggling the least is the winner. But I'm not sure it's something to champion. Certainly nothing compared to the rates of growth we see in the US, put it that way. I also think that, you know, she won't be satisfied with this, the Chancellor, nor should she be. Nobody should be satisfied with this. We need to double this rate of growth, Nick, at least, just in order to keep the lights on. That is the challenge of this government, who told us that growth was the number one mission, the defining mission. I suspect, in light of political twists and turns, excuse me, those priorities might shift a little bit now. The language will change, at least, I'm sure. But 0.1% growth for the last quarter, it was pretty paltry. There's no sugarcoating that.
Let's turn to your front page. You're putting the A and the I in the word contagion. What lies behind that, Christian?
Well, we've got another sector to add to our list of businesses and sectors that are feeling the squeeze from the disruption, from the threat of what's going on with extraordinarily fast developments in the world of AI. So we have seen the big data companies, huge listed companies that provide the legal sector with reams of data, etc. They lost billions in value all over the world, actually, last week when there was a new development in AI productivity tools aimed at the legal sector. People thought, my goodness, okay, perhaps we don't need these big clunky data companies in the way we used to. We also saw, didn't we, share price slumps in the owners of things like Money Supermarket and consumer credit and consumer advice, because AI can do a lot of that. And yesterday we saw the wealth managers take a real hit because of a new tool launched in the US that would basically help everybody invest and do their taxes. That's the claim. So St James's Place is one of Britain's biggest wealth groups. They closed down about 13% in their share price. There were, you know, similar moves in the FTSE 250. Companies like Quilter, AJ Bell, Aberdeen, they all felt the pinch. Now, they have all, as one, said, don't overreact. We are actually deep in AI ourselves. We're investing in this. We're, you know, positioned very well. And I do think that these dramatic sell-offs are a little bit overdone. But what will happen is that over time, we'll find out if these people are, you know, putting their money where their mouth is. Some businesses in some sectors will disappear, Nick, because of AI, no doubt about it. Others will ride the wave. It is going to be probably the most disruptive period that modern capitalism has ever seen. It's coming, it's here, and we're going to see more and more of these sorts of shakes.
And while undoubtedly AI is involved in the business, it won't see the farewell to supermarkets, and one's just been named as the nation's favourite. Which is it?
Yes, I hope this sparks a little bit of debate, Nick. Consumer group, which have been doing their annual survey, finding out where we shop, what we like. Top of the table is Marks and Spencer, named today as Britain's favourite supermarket, actually for the fifth year in a row. But there were big leaps by the likes of Aldi and Lidl. The full table, just looking at it now, M&S up quite high. People say, look, it's not the cheapest, but they basically say it is the best. Tesco is in the number two spot, followed by Aldi, Iceland. Waitrose, a respectable mid-table number five. But these are such competitive businesses. And I think people, you know, M&S has captured a bit of the nation's heart. People say, look, it's not the cheapest, but I do like it.
Yes, the mention of Waitrose for Mrs. Ferrari and Mrs. May jointly, I imagine, I would suspect. Lastly, who's cashing in with her back catalogue?
Well, I saw this morning that Britney Spears has sold. It's Britney Spears, Nick, has sold her back catalogue. I assume it was you that snapped it up. but looking into it, no, it was somebody else who's paid $200 million for all those hits. Baby One More Time, Toxic, etc. I don't think I can remember any more off the top of my head, by the way, although she was a big part of my childhood one way or another. So she has sold. She said last year she's never going to return to the music industry. And as if to make that emphatic, she has sold the entire rights to her music back catalogue to Primary Wave, which is a group which also owns the rights to Prince and Whitney Houston. So that's a $200 million payday.
Christian Mayer is editor-in-chief at City AM, and we've been doing some research. That 200 million translates to about £150 million, which is a fair amount of money. But what do you suppose the top six of these sales of back catalogues is? Well, in at six, it's Katy Perry with £182 million. Then it's Sting with £221 million. Bob Dylan is at fourth with £225 million. Bruce Springsteen is in the top three, £376 million. Michael Jackson, £471 million. But in top spots, it's Queen with £1 billion for their back catalogue. That rounds off the top six. Great work if you can get it. Someone who's in a world of pain with his work is Sir Keir Starmer. What of his judgment? Chris is in Epsom. Chris, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Good morning. Something doesn't add up with me and Keir Starmer. There seems to be a number of errors on his behalf.
Oh, God, yes. Strewn.
I mean, wasn't he not the head of the CPS when the decision was made not to prosecute Jimmy Savile?
Yes, he was.
But he was not the reviewing lawyer in the case. But didn't he have to come out and apologise?
I can't remember. I mean, certainly the Conservatives made a lot of it. Don't quote me as saying he apologised, but yes, you're right with the initial facts, yes.
So he had to come out and apologise on that and the failings for that case. We now find that he's employed, you know, Mandelson, given the peerage to Lord Doyle.
Yes, well, I mean, I'm a little nervous. I want to stress, I don't think there's anything other than appalling judgment going on here by Sir Keir Starmer. I sense you might be taking us in a different and rather troublesome direction. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, yeah, I'm suggesting that how many times can you make mistakes?
Ah, now that's more... as regards policy, 14 U-turns so far that he will have either been involved in or authorised as Prime Minister.
But how many times can you be involved with people that are involved with children and allegations like this? And three times he's now failed.
Yes, that's fair to say. Jimmy Savile, the appointment of Lord Mandelson, his close links with Epstein, and the appointment of Matthew Doyle, and he had time to stop that last one.
Correct.
Chris.
Correct.
All right. I see what you've laid out there. I say again, we are not in any way want this to assume that he, Sir Keir Starmer, is involved in any of that sort of activity. But what clearly, as Chris has said, his judgment is called into question. Well, it's almost on a daily basis, isn't it? One of his colleagues will be joining us later. It'll be interesting to get their take on that. Chris, thank you for that call. 7:42. Let's go elsewhere. We go to Canada. The school shooter, as he was defined, killed eight people during a rampage in a remote part of Canada, has been identified as a transgender teenager. Royal Canadian Mounted Police Deputy Commissioner Dwayne McDonald was at a press conference yesterday and revealed the identity.
We identify the suspect as they chose to be identified in public and in social media. I can say that Jesse was born as a biological male who approximately, the information that I have, approximately 6 years ago began to transition to female and identified as female both socially and publicly.
So the individual, born male but identified as female, Jesse Van Rootselaar. How extraordinary that the Deputy Commissioner of the Mounted Police addressed him by his first name. Or addressed them, I don't want to cause offence, let's say them, so nobody gets upset about it. Why would you give them a first name? This isn't a firm of affection. He's a killer. What's the matter with you? Don't afford them any identity. So this is what we know. Born male, identified as female, shot and killed his mother and brother at home on Tuesday before, as we know, killing four students and one teacher at Tumbler Ridge Secondary School in British Columbia. It is now, we now know, he opened fire on police when they arrived. Rounds were fired in their direction. Von Rootselaar, police described as a gun person wearing a dress, died at the school. He was not a student at the time of the shooting. This was addressed in Parliament yesterday by Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney.
To those families who have lost loved ones, this House mourns with you. To those who are recovering from injuries, this House prays for you. To the students, the teachers, the parents, every resident of Tumbler Ridge, all of Canada stands with you.
And of course, while the tragedy of what happened at a Canadian school is on a far greater scale, we must have sympathy with what's happened at school in London here. Two pupils, of course, receiving not life-changing but serious injuries after that knife attack. And in a related conversation, the government putting forward a new initiative, how to address young people who carry knives. We'll be speaking with the minister on that after this. And then in the next hour, these comments from the co-owner of Manchester United, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, speaking with Sky News.
You can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and huge levels of immigrants coming in. I mean, the UK is being colonised.
His figures as regards benefits are right. His figures as regards the growth in population are totally wrong. The choice of the word colonised, we'll get into that with you after this. It's 7:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister's called on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. Official figures show the UK economy grew by 0.1% in the last 3 months of 2025, and children found carrying a knife by police could be forced to attend mentoring sessions as part of new plans aimed at reducing reoffending rates. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays of about 3 miles on the M23 northbound to the M25 junction. It's following an accident, and the A1M very slow southbound to junction 7 at Stevenage South. There's been an accident here as well, and those queues go all the way back to junction 8. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency works, causing quite lengthy delays now in both directions over Chelsea and Battersea bridges. In Ilford, all the lanes are back open now on Ilford Hill westbound, but it's still very slow heading towards the north side. Road. Also, the delays continue on Putney High Street both ways, and that's following an accident. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the District and Hammersmith and City lines, a minor on the Bakerloo and Circle.
This is LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060973, LBC.
Nothing beats that electric feeling of live sport. As the proud automotive partner of Team GB, Vauxhall is supporting Britain's extraordinary athletes through every nail-biting, glue-to-the-box moment. Vauxhall is working towards a better future for our nation with its electric vehicle range, including the compact Vauxhall Combo Electric Van, made in Britain for Britain. Head to lbc.co.uk and tell us about your own extraordinary work feats to win £1,000.
With a Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Lidl, more to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability, ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply, see lidl.co.uk/lptv.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer.
We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
The Volkswagen Fantabulous Fandabby-dozy Fandang-a-ding-dong fortnight is here.
Stop. We've been through this, Harry. It's the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight. Much snappier.
Oh, okay. From the 2nd to the 16th of February, the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight gives you an extra £1,000 towards your finance deposit on top of existing offers on the Polo, Golf, Tiguan and our all-electric ID 3, 4 and 5 with Solutions PCP 7.9% APR representative. It's the final weekend of the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight. Hurry, offer ends this Monday. Better?
Perfect.
Indemnities may be required. Volkswagen Financial Services.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 10 minutes before 8. Now, although it might not seem like it or feel like it, not least of the events, of course, of that school in Brent, the number of teenage homicides per year in England and Wales has fallen by nearly a half to its low level. The fall has also been driven by a steep decline in teenage homicides involving a knife or a sharp instrument, which is obviously good news. I accept it might not feel like it, but it's not enough for the government. They're bringing in a new initiative to try and get the figures down even more. And here to explain is Labour MP, Justice Minister Jake Richards. Good to have you on, Minister. What is it that you're announcing with your colleagues today?
Thanks, Nick. Well, look, as you've said, this government has a commitment to halve knife crime over the next decade. You've just intimated that we've made some progress in that.
Yes,
but as we've seen this week, tragically, one incident is far too many. And so this announcement is about tackling the causes of knife crime. When a child is ever caught with a knife, we will guarantee that there will be intensive intervention to ensure that that child does not return to a life of criminality, and we're backing that up with funding. So we are announcing today £320 million for youth justice services over the next 3 years and £15 million a year for a specialist programme called Turnaround, which is working across the country already at helping young people turn their backs to crime. This shows, I hope, the government's commitment to this very critical issue, which so many of your listeners and viewers will be worried about.
Okay. How does Turnaround actually work then? What happens in the programme, Minister?
Well, it depends very much on the circumstances of every case. Every child is different. But the aim is to ensure...
When we say child, is this 17 and below? Just to get the age range. What age range are we talking about?
Yes, so anyone who's below the age of 18 is a minor under our laws.
Okay.
And what the programmes aim to undertake is to ensure that they get the tailored support that they need to ensure they don't enter into a life of crime. And it's absolutely crucial. Now, that may be a health issue, that may be an education issue, it may be a housing issue, but we have so many agencies and support across government and local government, but sometimes children can fall through the cracks. And this is a specialist service which works with those children on the cusp of criminality to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks and that we stop crime.
What are the sort of people who will work in the Turnaround scheme? What is their skill set?
Well, lots of youth justice workers, and I pay tribute to the work they do up and down the country. They're often hidden heroes. They may have a background in education, in healthcare, in social work. But critically, it's multidisciplinary. And what I mean by that is working across different sectors, across different government services, to ensure that every child gets the tailored support they need to turn their back on crime. And look, it's working. As I've said already, the Turnaround programme has really good success rates, over 92%
of children. So what happens with a young person? Do they go to courses or something? What will he or she do?
Well, Nick, it very much depends on the circumstances.
Well, give me an example. If
a child is perhaps struggling significantly with their mental health and is found with a knife which might be linked to those mental health concerns, and they may be on a waiting list, as we know, which is far too long, youth justice services can help make sure that that individual gets urgent and rapid support. It may be to do with their schooling and education. It may be to do with all three, which is why we need a team that is dedicated to ensure that a child gets everything they need to turn their back on crime. Because, look, we know that too often, if a child commits a crime below the age of 18, whether it's knife crime or something else, actually, Nick, they go on to a life of criminality which affects our communities more generally. So we have to nip this in the bud and tackle the causes of crime by early intervention with children.
And, Minister, this will just be for first-time offenders or also for repeat offenders? How will that break down?
Well, this guidance, it's a manifesto commitment that we're fulfilling today, is about those children that are caught with a knife for the first time, getting in early and making sure they never do it again. When there are repeat offences, obviously, that raises more concerns and that has an impact on the charging decision from the CPS and also sentencing as well.
And we have enough staff standing by. I note the figure you talked about, £320 million, which, of course, is an eye-watering thing, but we've got enough people in these centres, in these turnaround programmes, ready to step up.
I'm confident, having spoken and been to visit many youth justice services across the country, I'm going to one in Croydon later today with the Deputy Prime Minister, that our brilliant youth justice workers are ready to step up to this challenge.
But I mean, how many more will we need? How many more are we going to need, do you imagine?
No, I'm confident that we have the numbers at the moment, Nick, to ensure that this is done. It's about... Well,
we don't need extra staff. Sorry.
Well, I don't think we need... In the turnaround programme, may need to add some more recruitment to that, and that's why we're investing more money in it. But our youth justice system is up to this challenge, but it's about ensuring that there is a focus on knife crime, which is a particular concern to the British people and is causing, as we've seen this week, a huge amount of tragedy that can be avoided.
OK. Now, something that is also of concern to some of the great British public could be seen to be the Prime Minister's judgment, or at times lack of judgment. Why did he allow the elevation of Matthew Doyle, knowing his links to someone who had offences for paedophilia?
Well, it's quite clear, and as the Prime Minister said at the dispatch box yesterday, that Matthew Doyle he did not give the full account to the Prime Minister. But let's be very clear what has happened. Matthew Doyle has been stripped of the whip. He's no longer sitting with the Labour Party whip. We've launched an investigation into the circumstances.
The promotion went on after the Prime Minister knew of his background.
Well, it's very clear that Matthew Doyle did not tell the Prime Minister the full nature of this association with this person.
Why is he so gullible, the Prime Minister?
There has been an investigation that has been launched into the full circumstances of this. And look, what is clear, whether we're talking about the Mandelson issue last week or this issue again, there is a problem with government vetting processes and we need to have a look at that more generally.
But there's also a problem. We have a Prime Minister who has zero curiosity. He just takes on face value everything he's told, Minister.
Well, I don't accept that, Nick, because just this week he's taken the whip away from Matthew Doyle and has launched an investigation.
Having promoted him, knowing his background.
Well, I'm not sure that's quite right. The announcement
He said in Parliament that he knew.
The announcement of the peerage on the 10th of December came before the Times story on the 27th of December.
He could have blocked it.
We have to look at how this process takes place in government. It clearly can be better. There is no question about that. The Prime Minister has said that publicly at the dispatch box and elsewhere. Right. And the investigation into this case, but there's also a broader conversation of how we do this. And this is a long-running issue with the House of Lords. Across multiple governments and decades, we need to get a grip of it.
You mentioned your colleague, David Lammy, who, of course, is the Deputy Prime Minister. There is a story today that female Labour MPs have demanded the Prime Minister appoint a senior woman as his de facto deputy to see a, quotes, complete culture change, close quotes, an end to the boys' club. Would you support that?
Well, I certainly think we need to have a look at the culture in our politics. And I've spoken to female colleagues, actually, from different parties in Parliament over the last few days, sharing their concerns. And when they do, yes, I listen, and I listen very much.
But do you support Harriet Harman suggesting we need a female, she calls it, First Secretary of State?
Well, I think we need to have a look at what mechanisms there are to change that culture.
Do you support a female First Secretary of State, Minister?
I'm not sure that is the only answer to this problem. When we have a female Chancellor, a female Home Secretary, a female Foreign Secretary, we have two Chiefs of Staff in Number 10 now who are brilliant, strong Labour women. And I'm very proud of the fact that we have more Labour female MPs than ever before.
Right.
And so, look, we need to have a look in the conversation about the culture in our politics. And I'm pleased that the Prime Minister has taken that agenda forward.
All right. Last minute or so together. Can I get a view of you on the language deployed by Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who unfortunately certainly got his figures wrong, and someone questioned the choice of his language as regards immigration into this country? Minister.
Yeah, well, look, his comments were wrong. As you've said, he got his facts wrong, but it's also completely absurd to suggest we're somehow being invaded or taken over. And they're offensive because many people come to this country far from trying to take over the country, but to contribute, working our NHS or in our social care system, for example. But it's perfectly legitimate to have concerns about immigration, and that's why this government is taking urgent action to get a grip of our borders and bring down levels of migration generally from the 1 million net migration figures that we had under the Conservatives. But his language was offensive, it was wrong, and he should apologise.
Finally, your colleague again, David Lammy, is being urged to use his veto to block the release of a terrorist jailed over an Al-Qaeda-inspired plot. The parole board has ruled that Zahid Iqbal should be released 3 years before the end of his maximum term, despite his prison and community offender managers advising he should stay behind bars. Justice Minister, your response to that story?
Well, I'm not going to comment on parole board decisions and any appeal routes that there might be. You wouldn't expect me to do that, Nick, but I know that the Deputy Prime Minister will look at that case very seriously.
Thanks for your time, Minister. Talking about the turnaround programme that will be made available to every child, 17 and below, caught carrying a knife, certainly as a first-time offence. Thanks again, Minister. You've taken us almost to 8 o'clock. LBC News headlines are next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer has called on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. The Manchester United co-owner made the comments in a recent interview. The Prime Minister's called the remarks offensive and wrong. The Shadow Chancellor, Sir Mel Stride, has told Nick he knows what Sir Jim means.
I think the sentiment, let me choose my words carefully. I think I'm certainly supportive of the notion that people are rightly concerned about the level of migration into our country, which is why we did bring in changes at the tail end of the last government that have seen those numbers substantially fall. There is more work to do, okay. And certainly on illegal migration, where, of course, we have very strong proposals to deal with that as well.
The UK economy grew by just 0.1% between last October and December, in line with the previous quarter. The Office for National Statistics says that means the growth rate for the whole of 2025 was a subdued 1.3%. A suspect in Canada's worst mass shooting in decades has been identified. 8 people were killed at a school and nearby home in a small town in British Columbia on Tuesday. Police said they'd previously dealt with 18-year-old Jesse Van Rootselaar over mental health concerns. Children caught carrying a knife could be forced to have mentoring sessions as part of plans to cut reoffending rates. Knife carriers could also be forced to stay in education or training, with their progress intensely monitored. Justice Minister Jake Richards has been outlining the plans while speaking to Nick.
What the programmes aim to undertake is to ensure that they get the tailored support that they need to ensure they don't enter into a life of crime. Well, now, that may be a health issue, that may be an educational issue, it may be a housing issue, but we have so many agencies and support across government and local government, but sometimes children can fall through the cracks. And this is a specialist service which works with those children on the cusp of criminality to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks.
The UK is to provide Ukraine with more than £500 million worth of new missile systems to protect against Russian attacks. For the first time, it'll include £150 million worth of equipment bought from the United States as part of a NATO initiative. And the hospitality sector is urging the Chancellor to scrap plans to allow a holiday tax in England. Regional mayors will be given powers to introduce visitor levies on overnight stays. Industry bosses are warning that the plans would hit families, put jobs at risk, and drain money from local communities. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 reopened at 10,472. It closed up 118 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
This This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 3 minutes after eight on Thursday, the 12th of February. Coming up in this hour, foul language from the Manchester United co-owner, colonised by immigrants. That's his view of this country. The Prime Minister calling on him to apologise. We'll look at that in more detail. Plus, can a cheat ever change? Should you take back a love rat? Here's Norwegian biathlete Sturla Holm-Lygreid crying on camera earlier this week after admitted he cheated on his girlfriend.
3 months ago, I made the biggest mistake and was unfaithful, and I told her about it a week ago. It has been the worst week of my life.
Now, that was as he got his bronze medal. His girlfriend has subsequently let it be known that she does not forgive him. Should you take, can a leopard change its spots? And should you ever take back a cheetah? In other news,
LBC's been told gangs from South America and Europe are fueling a surge in attacks on jewellers across the UK. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the details in Richmond.
And we will return to that initiative outlined about 10, 15 minutes ago by the minister. The idea that youngsters 17 and below will be given courses if they're found carrying a knife. Is that the way to solve the problem? That's later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
He might be rich, £12.6 billion in the bank, and he might be successful with his company Ineos, and he might be the co-owner of Manchester United. But he's got his facts and his figures wrong. But is the broad sentiment, or some of his facts and figures wrong, is the broad sentiment of what Sir Jim Ratcliffe said, is there something to it? Now, he says the country's been colonised by immigrants. We'll play you a little clip of what he told Sky News in just a moment. It is worth reminding him that the first 11 who turned out earlier this week to play Manchester United, only three of whom were from the United Kingdom. So, if he's so concerned, how come he allows Martinez from Argentina, Cunha, if I'm that correctly, from Brazil, Fernandez from Portugal? Doesn't seem to have any problems bringing them in, does he? Now, as I say, he is one of the nation's richest and most influential men, founder of the Ineos Group. Here he is speaking with Ed Conway from Sky News.
At the moment, I don't think the economy's any good. You can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and huge levels of immigrants coming in. I mean, the UK's been colonised. It's costing too much money. The UK's been colonised by immigrants, really, isn't it? I mean, the population of the UK was 58 million in 2020. Now it's 70 million.
Now, you heard Ed Conway give him a chance to row back in. Colonised? Yeah, colonised. Let's get the correct figures out there, by the way. And these are Office for National Statistics. The population of the United Kingdom in 2020 was 67 million. 67 million. Not 58 million. So that means it's a growth of around 3 million. So his figures are totally wrong. How he's got 12.6 in the bank, I have no idea. 12.6 billion, by the way, not even million. His figures as regard benefits seem to be broadly correct. But what is the thrust? What is the sentiment he's trying to express? Something I discussed in the first hour of the show with Conservative Shadow Chancellor Sir Mel Stride.
Well, I wouldn't use that phraseology. I wouldn't say colonised because I think it sounds like there's some kind of nefarious reason behind people coming to our country, which is not the case. But he is certainly speaking to something that is of huge concern to people up and down the country, and that is high levels of migration. Which is why at the tail end of the last Conservative government we did bring in changes to the visa requirements that have actually seen those numbers very dramatically.
But he's got his figures wrong, Samuel.
He's suggested that there'd been a 12 million increase in the size of the population from 2020 when it's only about 3 million.
Broadly supportive of his sentiments, just to clarify.
I think the sentiment, let me choose my words carefully. I think I'm certainly supportive of the notion that people are rightly concerned about the level of migration into our country, which is why we did bring in changes at the tail end of the last government that have seen those numbers substantially fall. There is more work to do, and certainly on illegal migration, where, of course, we have very strong proposals to deal with that as well.
And the government view this morning espoused by Justice Minister Jake Richards.
that his comments were wrong. As you've said, he got his facts wrong, but it's also completely absurd to suggest we're somehow being invaded or taken over. And they're offensive because many people come to this country far from trying to take over the country, but to contribute, working our NHS or in our social care system, for example. But it's perfectly legitimate to have concerns about immigration, and that's why this government is taking urgent action to get a grip of our borders and bring down levels of migration generally from the 1 million net migration figures that we had under the Conservatives. But his language was offensive, it was wrong, and he should apologise.
Gina Miller, businesswoman, political activist. You and I pride ourselves on living in a nation where we have free speech, but has he overstepped the mark in your view, Gina? Morning.
Oh, good morning. I mean, it not only has he overstepped the mark, I mean, he's just about everything he said was incorrect. For somebody, supposedly you said very successful, but using this sort of populist divisive language is ignorant and is insulting. And it doesn't offer any policy solutions, which is what we need. I mean, in the sum of what he says is bleeding obvious. I mean, yes, of course we can't have such a high benefits bill. And actually, if you look at the total number of people on benefits, it's 24 million. And the biggest group there is actually the 13 million at a sort of state pension age. And I think he is right when he says we need bold, honest politicians to say, to do unpopular things. And one I would say is, you know, looking at the triple lock, for example. But to say that it, linking it and saying it's to do with immigrants, actually, people who come to this country on a visa for work, study or to join family actually have no recourse to public funds. So he is incorrect there as well. I mean, there is, it just offers nothing to this debate that is a really important one.
So the Shadow Chancellor, Sir Mel, said there is something in the sentiment that he's trying to express, that there is concern in parts of the country. Is that a fair comment?
No, I don't think so, because if you look again, we need to look at the data. It is every government's responsibility to secure our borders and to make sure we have a level of migration that is not onerous on our country. That is a given, but the data does not support that. Immigrants who come to this country tend to be economically contributors rather than taking out of the state. And at the moment, until we fix all the problems, you know, governments of all stripes have actually failed to do in our country, in our systems, investing, actually training, for example, in our NHS, putting British first when it comes to recruiting our doctors. Until we get those things right, we do need a level of immigration, but it's at their doors. I don't care which party they're from. The parties who have been in power have failed this country, and now they need to put it right.
Finally, you don't accept that there are some areas, some cities in this country that have changed dramatically with the arrival of people here, and there needs to be better integration. A city I know well, Leicester, by the way. My mum was raised there.
Integration.
I'm not saying it's bad. It has changed dramatically, Gina.
So, and it's not just over the last few years, because actually, to go back to his very ignorant use of the word colonisation, you know, the British colonising and the descendants, I'm one of them, came to Britain after the Second World War in the 50s and 60s to help rebuild this country. And we came on our British passports and we were British. And the fact is that integrating and contributing to our country is absolutely vital. But we are a modern, multicultural, successful society. And there are problems and we need to fix them.
Gina Miller, businesswoman and political activist, thank you. 11 minutes after 8, Martins and Rotherhithe. Well, what do you make of Sir Jim's words? Is there anything behind them that you would support, or is it completely offside? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, thank you.
Yeah, while I wouldn't have used the word colonised, I do think there's some, yeah, I do agree with the sentiment of what he was saying. You know, in the last 20 years or so, we have had huge numbers of people come to this country. And, you know, while most people think immigration's a good idea, providing it's in sensible amount, mm-hmm. you know, the last 20 years or so, the numbers have been huge. And there are parts of this country, and particularly London, where I know well, which are unrecognisable from when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that just part of a country developing and growing and becoming more modern and people arriving here?
You could say that, but equally, if providing immigration is at sensible numbers, you don't really get these sorts of inflammatory stories. And you know, I'll give you an example. You know, last year, I went to a rugby match at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fact that I can remember this from a year ago, I'll explain why. I got off the train at Seven Sisters, and it's about a 20-minute walk up to the stadium. And this was in the middle of a Saturday afternoon, you know, rammed, lots of people out and about. For that 20-minute walk, I did not hear one person speak English. And I can still remember that now.
And what does that tell you?
It tells you that, firstly, integration well, we've not got as much of it as we think we have.
Or we should.
And secondly, the numbers over the last 20 years have totally changed parts of this country.
And how did you feel?
Well, because I've grown up in London, I'm used to people from different backgrounds. But still, even I, as somebody that's, you know, reasonably liberal on immigration, you know, I'm not anti-immigration, but even I thought, this is not right. You know, this simply isn't right.
When you say it's not right, what do you mean that it's not right?
For a capital city, for 20 minutes to not hear another English accent or another person speaking in your native accent, language, I'm sorry, I don't think that's comfortable. I'm not comfortable with that.
Martin, thank you. Let's see what others make of Martin's experience. Have a safe day. Ray in Sunningdale, what would you say to that? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Right, I'm just sick and tired of these people complaining about migration, migration, migration. I am involved in Sierra Leone business, and we're looking at...
You're involved in what business? Sorry.
In Sierra Leone politics. Politics in Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone. And sorry, I didn't hear that. Right, okay.
That's right, yeah. And we're looking at taking back our minerals, of which we have 44. 44 minerals that are controlled by multinationals that extract the raw dirt with no value-added job for the locals.
Right.
How do you expect those human beings to survive? They're going to do...
Sorry, how is this relevant to Sir Jim Ratcliffe's views on the
very
United...
Very relevant. That's what creates migration. That's what creates the illegal migration and the boats that you're talking about, because people have to live, and we have a situation where when we want to take our minerals, we're threatened with sanctions and so on and so forth. If the people don't have jobs, what do you expect them to do?
Thanks for that, Ray. Let's get one more call in before we go to the news. And we go to Germany. Malcolm's in Older. Where's Older? Good morning.
It's east of Dortmund.
Good to have you on. What do you make of the comments back here in the UK?
Being a Liverpool supporter, I've always hated Manchester United, and now it's even more justified than ever before. Just using his narrative, going on that point, the white man should have stayed in Europe. Did he? Did he? Hell. He colonised everything.
Yes, yes.
Australia, New Zealand, the Americas, and that's totally all right. It's not. It's hypocrisy at its largest scale.
Malcolm, thank you. View from Germany. We'll take plenty more views on that. Also coming up in this hour, should you ever take back a cheetah in the Love Stakes? The biathlon in the Winter Olympics combines cross-country skiing and shooting. Norwegian Sturle Holm Lygrade got a bronze medal. But this is his reaction.
3 months ago, I made the biggest mistake and was unfaithful. And I told her about it a week ago. It has been the worst week of my life.
Extraordinary way to accept your bronze medal, isn't it? Don't really do that when I've got a Sony gold. But as regards the Love Stakes, mixing up your big cats. Does a leopard change its spots, and should you take back a cheetah? 8:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer has called on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country is being colonised by immigrants. The UK economy grew by just 0.1% between last October and December, in line with the previous quarter. And speaking to Nick, a government minister has rejected claims Sir Keir Starmer has a catastrophic lack of judgment when it comes to making senior appointments. LBC weather cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M2 eastbound to Junction 3 at Chatham. It's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed. Very busy on the M25 anti-clockwise at Junction 26 at Waltham Abbey because a van's broken down on the exit slip road. Still quite slow on the A1M southbound to Junction 7 at Stevenage South, but all the lanes are now back open. In Chelsea, Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for those emergency repair works. So it's very busy northbound over Battersea and Chelsea Bridges instead. And in Ilford Hill back open westbound, but it's still very slow heading towards the North Circular Road. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the District and Hammersmith and City lines, and minor on the Bakerloo and Circle lines.
This is LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use,
interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Just quickly get some of the reactions that are coming in. So Jim Ratcliffe's comments 19 minutes after 8 on social media. Miguel Rodriguez, as a Manchester United fan, I feel so sad that someone so powerful has chosen hate instead of love. Same subject. This comes in from, where's your name, Andrew? Angry Andrew from Derbyshire. I've not heard anyone mention Jim Ratcliffe's tax status. For me, he's got a bit of a nerve. He's not paying tax in this country. He's migrated to Monaco. I think we did say that, but we'll get it out there again. Raj is in Harrow. Raj, your reaction to Ratcliffe's words. Good morning.
Hi, morning,
yes,
Nick.
Yes, you're on the radio.
I just had a quick look at Manchester United's starting lineup on Tuesday.
8 of them.
So we've got lots of British names there. Lamons.
Yeah.
Diego Dalot.
Yeah.
Martinez.
Thanks, John Motson. Yeah, no, we have got that. It's what we take from that, because he seems happy enough to have them employed in the club he co-owns. Hello.
So what's his issue then?
Well, look, I think where he's right, let's try this a different way. Where Ratcliffe is right is we have too many people on benefits, right? Now, whether it's because we're not encouraging them into work, there will be some who genuinely can't work through health issues, whether physical or mental health, I get it, and obviously. But there will be people, there are too many people, and we cannot afford that kind of bill. But to talk about colonisation, that is not the way to get a sensible point across. Raj.
So is he thinking that it's mainly non-white people that are on benefits in this country?
No, he doesn't mention colour, does he? He doesn't mention colour once, Raj.
Hello? So what's his point then? I still don't get it. Is he saying that...
I'm sorry, look, I don't know what I'm not explaining. Let's try for a final time. His point is that there are too many people coming to this country. He doesn't mention skin colour. Too many people come to this country. He gets the facts wrong. And too many people living on benefits. And you don't get a country to grow economically like that. Yes?
Well...
Raj, I think we've also got a delay on the line. It's just not working. Raj, I think it's a problem with your phone or our phone. Let's move on. We'll have more calls on that in a moment. Let's go to other matters. And when it comes to love... Does a leopard ever change its spots, and should you take back a cheetah? Here is Norwegian, and of course he won a bronze medal at the Winter Olympics, Sturle Holm Liegrid, accepting his bronze gong.
6 months ago, I met the love of my life, the most beautiful and kindest person in the world. 3 months ago, I made the biggest mistake and was unfaithful, and I told her about it a week ago. It has been the worst week of my life.
And he addressed it again in a press conference. This time, this is the man speaking in English.
We make different choices during our life, and that's how you make life, basically. So today I made the choice to tell the world what I did. So maybe there is a chance that she will see what she really means to me. and maybe not. But I don't want to think I didn't try everything to get her back.
Now, the young woman involved, who is keeping her anonymity, has said she's no interest in going back. She's still hurting. So do you ever take back a cheetah? Does a leopard change its spots? Ellen Mills, former editor, director of the Sunday Times, editor of the Sunday Times magazine, founder of Noon.org.uk, an organisation for women in midlife, joins me now. Would you take back a cheetah? Morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. No, I think you're right. Leopards don't change their spots. And she said very clearly that she didn't choose to be put in this position. She's really hurt by it. And basically, she sounds like she just wishes he'd shut up and leave her alone. So I think you don't take back a cheetah because once, I think fidelity in relation, particularly in long-term relationships, is the bedrock. And once that's gone, it's pretty hard to kind of get it back. These kids are still quite young. He's only 28. And I think she sounds like she's younger. Why would you set up your life with somebody who's already done that to you and then assumes that you'll forgive them and take them back if he makes enough of a fuss and is manipulative enough on a global stage? Now, I think he doesn't sound like good husband material.
Eleanor, stay where you are. I want to bring Alex Croxford into the conversation, a relationship coach, and I understand on social media you admit that sadly your marriage broke down. Would you ever take back a cheetah?
You know what? I would. And the only reason that I would, and the only reason I say that, is that I don't think that cheating happens in a vacuum. And I also think that if you are willing to show remorse, and if you are willing to work on the underlying problem that led you to have the affair or cheat in the first place, then you can be a changed person. I do believe a leopard can change his spots.
Okay. You saw in a vacuum. Just expand a little bit on that, Alex.
So I think every situation is very nuanced and very specific. I can't talk about his particular situation. I don't know what was going on in the relationship. However, I do know that very often, when I see my own clients and in my own situation, that very often there is something happening within the relationship. It might be that there is not enough affection, enough attention. There is an experience of not being wanted or not being seen. And although I want to be really clear, that does not justify cheating. Nothing justifies betraying somebody's trust. I do not believe that someone just cheats out of nowhere in a very happy, solid relationship.
Is that what happened to you?
Yes. Is that what happened to me? And I didn't realise, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people say, oh, why didn't you just leave? You should have just left him. Like, and agreed. Oh my God, if I could go back and undo the destruction that I caused, I would 100% do that. But the truth is, I didn't know how unhappy I was. I was existing in this kind of disconnected way from what I wanted, what I needed, my own feelings, and it happened. And it was the thing that blew up my marriage and the thing that completely changed my life at the same time.
Eleanor Mills, let's bring you back into the conversation. Alex saying, Eleanor, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are associated causes and reasons and issues.
Well, I've been married for 30 years, and I think that the real kind of backbones of a marriage that lasts is fidelity. And going back to the Norwegian chat, they've only been together for 3 months.
Yeah.
And if someone's cheating on you after 3 months, I don't think that's a good bedrock for the rest of your life.
Or the other way of looking at it is they're only 3 months in, they're still perhaps settling down. Do you allow just one little bit of straying?
Well, Nick, I wouldn't, but, maybe that's me. But I also think that sets up a pattern and that people will do what you let them do. And if you take back somebody who's cheated on you after only 3 months, that's not a great... I wouldn't say that was a great foundation for a happy marriage.
Eleanor, thank you. Final word to Alex. By going public, by going so public at the Winter Olympics, do you think he's increased his chances of winning the love of his life back or decreased? Alex?
Oh, I'm not sure. The thing is, I think it's got nothing to do with him announcing it publicly. I think, if anything, it's a lot of shame that she's now going to be experiencing on top of his shame. And I don't think announcing something so publicly worldwide is going to be the thing that brings them back together. What will really bring them back together if he shows remorse, which I believe he is showing remorse. And second of all, really starts to address the root of that pattern that led him to cheating early on in the relationship in the first place. Humans are complicated. They do stuff. They have a dark side, you know?
Like, you got that right. Alex, I must leave it there. Thank you. Eleanor Mills, you heard from first. Former editor of the Sunday Times magazine, founder of noon.org.uk, as in the hour, noon, 12 noon. And Alex Croxford, relationship coach, whose marriage sadly came to an end as a result of infidelity. Valerie's in... Where are you? Carmarthen. Valerie, what are you going to say to this? Good morning.
Hi,
Hi there, Nick. I'm first-time caller, long-time listener.
Great to have you on, Valerie.
Absolutely love you, and you shouldn't have got married. You should have waited for me.
All right, okay. Well, I'm very happy. Thank you very much.
Well, I've been in a relationship for 17 years.
Yep.
And I found out 2 weeks ago that my partner has been in that 17 years in another relationship with somebody else.
For how many of the 17 years?
All of them.
Oh, for
all
God's
of them.
Sakes.
He's just never let go.
Oh, for
it's
goodness
been,
sakes.
Yeah, and it's absolute irrefutable proof I've got.
Right.
And it's devastating.
When did you find out?
2 Fridays ago.
How did you find out?
He was on the telephone, and I came back to the car, and I caught him on the phone, which he wouldn't let me see. He clicked it off, wouldn't let me see. So my suspicions were aroused.
You confronted him, presumably, did you?
I confronted him. He lied, right. It's cornered rats, right to the last minute.
And then he confessed, ultimately?
No.
How do you know... I don't want to be rude, Valerie, but do you know you're right?
Well, because I asked him to call the number he called, and over his shoulder I took a photograph of the number.
Oh, my God.
And then I went off and called it.
Yes.
And so I spoke to this lady, who was as surprised as me.
Oh, my God, he was running a double life.
Yes, pretty much.
Are you married to this fellow?
No.
The other woman isn't married to him?
No.
So, when you... Did you sort of compare notes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course we did. We went down through everything.
let's use the name Nick, because that's safest. So, did the other girl think that she was just Nick's only partner?
She didn't think she was a friend.
Right.
They'd been together for 4 years before me, and she felt sorry for him, but there was always this opening of he would have a relationship with her. I think it was more of an emotional crush.
How often did he see her?
I don't know. I'm going to be finding out.
How are you going to be finding out?
I'm going to be meeting this lady.
You're going to meet the woman who has been with your partner of 17 years, 4 years before you even hooked up.
Yes, because she's done nothing wrong.
She's not
my enemy. I'm not hers. We're both totally in the dark, and we've both been terribly, terribly upset. I've moved to Wales for this man. I've left my children behind in the southeast for this man.
Oh, my goodness.
They've grown up, you know, they're not babies.
Of course. No,
they're like 30 onwards. But, I've done everything, and I... No, of course, no, it's not just one person. I can understand that. It takes two.
So the man involved, Nick, wins a bronze medal at the Olympics and said, I've just made the most terrible decision. The girl I love living back in Carmarthen, I just want her back. What would your reaction be?
No, thank you. Run for the hills.
There's nothing that could persuade you to ever entertain the idea of revisiting the romance.
No, I mean, as it is, I feel terribly sorry for Nick.
Right. Do you
I do.
Presumably the other girl's dumped Nick, has she?
Well, as a friend, yes, absolutely.
As a friend.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Were you living with Nick?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Nick was in my house. It's my house, thankfully.
It's yours, right. So where's Nick living now?
He's gone back to his son.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's
the first, after... What are you going to do? Going to have a glass of wine with her, or a cup of tea, or lunch? What are you going to do with her?
We're going to have coffee.
You're going to have coffee, of course you are.
We're going to have coffee, yeah. And we're going to have a good chat.
What's the first question you're going to ask her?
I don't know. I should probably give her a hug.
Right.
Yeah, because I think, her life's been stunned and upside down. Not quite as much as mine, because I was living with him.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in your head. And sorry, when are you planning to catch up with the other girl?
Next week.
Well, I'll be thinking about that. Valerie, thank you. What an extraordinary call. And the fact that you guys are going to meet up for a coffee. I was going to say, let us know how it goes. If you want to let us know how it goes, it may be that you don't. It's too emotional. But I think you certainly hooked me in and a lot of my listeners. So, Valerie, good luck. I hope it goes well for you. And thanks for all your candour. Gosh, 8:32, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC. News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer has called on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country is being colonised by immigrants. The Prime Minister has called the remarks offensive and wrong. The UK economy grew by 0.1% in the final quarter of last year. The Office for National Statistics says 2025 was a year of subdued growth. And speaking to Nick, a government minister has rejected claims Sir Keir Starmer has a catastrophic lack of judgment when making senior appointments. Sir Keir's under pressure after it emerged he gave his former aide a peerage who had ties with a convicted sex offender. LBC weather cloudy for most with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow. A high of 12 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
The deputy leader of the Labour Party, someone whom Keir Starmer actually sacked a few months ago. Lucy Powell is with me live in the studio taking your calls. Lizzie, who's a new caller in Sheffield.
Do you agree with your Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, that our student loan system is fair and reasonable?
I don't want to make sort of policy announcements.
We understand. You're not the Chancellor yet.
I feel that is particularly egregious in that plan too, compared with some of the other so-called plans or the different schemes.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new Smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's Best Family Electric SUV of the Year. And did we mention that the Smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous What Car Award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
I'm Leah and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your Advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
We'll come back to our conversation at Sir Jim Ratcliffe a little bit later. If not, certainly within the next 15 minutes or so, we'll definitely look at it again because so many people want to have their say on the broad sentiment. There might be something to it. Certainly, the country trying to cope with 9 million people living on benefits and unemployed, that is an issue. But words such as colonised or colonisation, you just lose the strength of your argument, I would argue. More on that to come. Let's go to the classroom, though, which is a place we often go because of the love and the importance of children in our lives, if we're fortunate enough to have them. But what of teachers, and what about rising issues as what's called pupil behaviour? Well, it's now said it's playing a significant role in teachers choosing to quit the profession. Analysis from the National Foundation for Educational Research found teachers who say behaviour is worse in their schools are more likely to leave teaching, as well as actually leaving as well. Department of Education research shows teachers and school leaders think pupil behaviour has got considerably worse over recent years. Lastly, without blasting you with too many or blitzing you with too many figures at this time of day, teachers report they spend too much time dealing with behaviour incidents. That's up the amount of time from 50% as recently as 2022 to 59% of their time in 2025. So that's a nearly 20% leap. I'm so sorry, nearly 10% No, I'm right, nearly 20% leave. Gosh, in 3 years, my goodness. Right, enough of the figures, let's get some views and facts behind it. Pepe Di Lazio is General Secretary of the Association of School and College Leaders. Good to have you on, sir. Does this chime with what your members and what you're hearing in classrooms and common rooms up and down the land? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. And I think it's fair to say that this reflects what we're hearing from our members in many ways. What we're seeing is a combination of issues coming together, particularly post-COVID, with young people presenting with a wider breadth of issues and a wider complexity of issues, which have been more challenging to cope with. And you're hearing that in the research here today. And I think this comes from a combination of things. Firstly, you've got a workforce that over a decade has had a lack of investment, a reduction in pastoral leaders, tutors, those people that are specialists in supporting young people. On top of that, you've had wider societal cuts in both youth services, charity work, youth workers. And these come together to mean that when you're focused on trying to support and teach and lead your class, some of the skills and the strategies and the intervention means that you have to support those young people are stretched, and it can feel very anxious and it can feel very challenging. And that's what you're seeing in these figures right now.
What sort of incidents, what sort of behaviour are we talking about, Pepe?
Well, perhaps when you and I worked school, Nick, there would have been quite low-level behaviour, and we would have been told off by our teacher and perhaps made sure we kept our head down. Yep. What we're seeing here are a range of issues that perhaps are more serious and more complex. So often young people are presenting with mental health needs, high levels of anxiety. They're refusing to follow the normal routines and requests. Often most of the issues that we're hearing about are about a young person just simply refusing to follow and comply with rules repeatedly. And it's difficult to run a school, difficult to teach a lesson when you're having to give that much attention to one specific student in a particular situation.
Last year, that television show Adolescence certainly seared onto our screens and I think picked up a number of awards. Yes, indeed, actually, I remember. Of course, even this year, it's still picking up awards. Pepe, the portrayal of some of the scenes within the school were truly shocking to me as a teaching professional and indeed as General Secretary. How shocked at all, if at all, were you?
Well, I was shocked with the presentation of it, but actually it was a realistic presentation of what life can be like in some schools on some occasions. And of course, the extra factor in that was the interaction of the young person with algorithms and with social media and with mobile phones. And that's just another aspect of young people's growing up at the moment, and how growing up as a young person is a very different time in this generation than it was even 5 years ago, Nick, and the challenges they face as a result of that. We need to give them support to help them through that. We need to help protect them better with perhaps social media bans, but also in the access that they have to the wider varieties of life.
Always good speaking with you. Thank you, Pepe. Pepe Di Lazio, General Secretary of the Association of School and College Leaders. And, of course, if that speaks to you, although you're possibly in the classroom now, that speaks to your husband or your wife or your partner or whatever it might be, your sons and daughters who are in the teaching profession, do share your views. But it's whether you should take back a cheetah that we're talking about now in the light of the Norwegian Winter Olympian with his bronze medal. I mean, they were 3 months into the relationship. And it would appear he cheated on her. She booted him out. Or I don't know where they were living together. She said farewell. And he wants her back. Isabel's in Ricklesworth. What's the story you're going to tell me? Good morning.
Hello, Nick. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Not at all.
Yeah, so I was married for 28 years.
Oh, yes.
And I found out... Well, I didn't find out. My husband said he had a connection with somebody.
A connection? And what does that mean?
A connection, yeah. So it really went from there. And I got 17 photos downloaded on my phone of him and her on a night out because he forgot to turn his iCloud off.
God.
But
what's an iCloud?
I
didn't worry anyone giving all that up. But anyway, go on.
But in a way, he did me a massive favour because I would never ever have left the marriage.
Right.
Because I'm very loyal. I'm loyal in my work. I'm loyal with my friends. I'm just a very loyal person.
And how long ago did this happen?
Oh, 2 years ago.
If he won a bronze medal at the Olympics and said, I made a terrible decision, I love Isabel in Rickmansworth, and is there any form of language by which you would take him back?
Absolutely not. I'm having the best time. But just remember, if someone's done that to you, don't see it as a bad thing on you.
Oh, God, no.
It's their issue.
Yeah, it is.
It's their issue.
Can you remember the emotion you felt when you saw those photographs of him on a night out?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I sort of screamed.
Did you really?
It wasn't nice.
No. And when you confronted him, did he cough to the lot, as they say in policing terms?
No. He said it was a work do and there were other people there. I said, well, how come not one of them was photobombing?
You've no regret at all, I can hear in your voice. No regret. No. You're having a blast.
It's a lie. When people lie to you...
Do you know what's happened to him, or do you not maintain...
Oh, yes, because we're getting divorced at the moment.
Oh,
so,
he's still going through.
To
oh, okay.
Trying to sell a house. Oh. But, yeah, he's with her still, which is fine.
Okay,
I'm having a good time.
All right. Well, good luck with the divorce. It's a really, unfortunately, I speak from personal experience, it's a really, really trying time. So I hope it goes through okay. Isabel, thank you. Matt in Bury. Matt, what are you telling us? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Nick. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Good to have you on. What's your view on this?
Well, my view on this is it happened to me. My ex-partner, who was an alcoholic and abusive in a relationship for 7 years.
Oh, Lord.
Went on a school reunion and met, went out with a cousin and various other people. Hmm. And a name started to crop up. And
Another girl's name started to pop up?
No, another bloke's name.
Another bloke's name started to pop up.
I haven't heard that for 7 years when questioned about it.
When you say pop up?
Just in conversation. Oh, what have you been up to? I've been out on a reunion.
And I saw Nick. Let's use Nick, because that's... And I saw Nick or something. Is that roughly what's happening?
Yeah,
Nick would suddenly be mentioned again, and Nick this and Nick that. I've got it. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the relationship... I'm not saying the relationship was perfect. It had its ups and downs, obviously, because of the nature of the beast. When I went to return some items, when we'd had a fantastic night one night, the following Wednesday, because this name kept cropping up, it all kind of fell through. And she went back to her house, and I went round to drop some items off, and the guy's there.
Oh, what time of day was
and
it?
She's in a different state of dress with a button undone on her shirt and things like that. And I went round three times. Second time, he ran out of the house. Third time, her daughter was there. And this is when I decided that I would go and tell his wife, and I found out where he lived.
So you find Nick's wife...
Yeah.
Right, and you go and say, hello, Nick's wife, who we'll call from now. We've not gone.
She went on... I went down and told her. She threatened me that if I was lying, that she would kill me. And I said I wouldn't be in your house if I wasn't correcting what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And he came in, had been out to a new running club on a certain night. There were certain nights that I wasn't in the house or I was out doing things. And I think he was around every time I was out.
Oh, Lord. Right.
So anyway, his wife asked him the direct question. He said no. She said, I'm going to ask you one more time, and then I'm going to go to the kitchen, and I'm going to plunge a knife through your chest.
Oh, my God.
And he said, yes, I've been having a sexual relationship with this woman, and it's been going on for 2 or 3 months. And then I was asked to leave the house, and off I went.
And what's happened subsequently? She kicked him out?
Sorry.
She's
still with him, as far as I know. Unless he's with my ex, it wouldn't surprise me.
What, you could still be seeing both of them?
Maybe, I've no idea.
How do you feel about it now?
It's probably one of the funniest stories I've got, to be fair, because his wife was something else. she was something else.
What, violent in some way?
Well, no, I just think she was highly cheesed off. I nearly used a different word, but...
Yeah.
She thought something had been going on, and she welcomed me into the house. I sat there waiting, and when she rang him to say, where are you? And he said he was 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
He walked into the house, and you've never seen anybody blood drain from him so much in your life.
Oh, my God. Are you glad to be away from your partner of 7 years?
Yes. Yes.
How long ago did this all happen?
This is the back end of the summer.
Oh, it's fairly recent then. Have you had any contact with her?
She texted me the other night.
Did you text her back?
Yeah, I did text her back to say, you know, you're going to have to live with it.
Oh, she wants to come back?
No, I don't know if she wants to go. I don't know why she texted me. She was probably half cut.
Right. It's all going on in Bury, isn't it? Matt, look after yourself. Thank you. Hope it all works out well.
Just want to check I can read this. Yeah, Jessica, my ex-husband cheated on me while I was pregnant with my second daughter. He lied. He told me it was a male friend by the name of Joe initially. When I told him his only chance of making this work and staying at the family was telling me the truth, he confessed. Then subsequently kicked him out. He got his way back and I stupidly allowed it. 6 months later, I found her name on his phone again. He told me she was just a friend and they stay in touch. Don't go back, is her message. All right. Coming up later in the show.
After a jeweller's in Richmond was struck in broad daylight, we've been told organised criminal networks from abroad are fuelling smash-and-grab raids across the UK. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the exclusive.
All human life is here at the moment, isn't it? The 8:45 LBC News headlines now. Dominic Ellis.
Downing Street says the Manchester United co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe should apologise for his comments about immigration. The UK economy grew by just 0.1% between last October and December, in line with the previous quarter. And speaking to Nick, a government minister has rejected claims the Prime Minister has a major lack of judgment when it comes to making senior appointments. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 anti-clockwise to junction 26 at Waltham Abbey. A van's broken down on the exit slip road, but there are long delays back into the main carriageway. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency repair works. There are lengthy delays northbound over Battersea and Chelsea bridges as traffic diverts. Also, Putney High Street's very busy both ways after an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. On the underground, there are severe delays on the District and Hammersmith and City lines, and minor delays on the Bakerloo. The delays on the Circle Line have now cleared, but Elizabeth Line services aren't running between the Heathrow terminals, and that's all down to a signal failure.
LBC.
Tesco Finest Alderwood Smoked Bacon. The foundation for the ultimate bacon butty. It's why only the finest bacon is traditionally hand-cured with Cornish sea salt, delicately smoked over Alderwood, and matured for at least 19 days. Layer it between slices of crusty bread and savour its richer flavour. All you have to think about is brown sauce or red. Make your everyday taste better with Tesco Finest. Majority of larger stores.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails. There's still time to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensified Pasta Sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavour. Dolmio, yeah!
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd buy a really nice suit.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I'm rich!
But instead of a suit, you buy a jetpack and ruin your sister's wedding.
So sorry, I'm late to the end!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
It's hard to concentrate when you're worried about your health. It can feel like there's a wall between you and the rest of the world. Like you can't be fully present.
Hello, AXA Health. How can I help?
At AXA Health Insurance, we build our teams with people who care. So when you need us, we're here to support you. For cover that cares, search AXA Health Insurance. Pre-existing conditions are not covered.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS fit for the future, available England-wide.
At
Lidl, we value getting everyone round the table this pancake day. Make sure to top up on toppings from the fresh produce retailer of the year, us. Such as a four-pack of lemons and fun-sized apples, both for just 69p with Lidl Plus. Lidl, more to value. Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only. Offer ends 18th the 2nd, 26.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8 minutes before nine. Jenny, I'm going to talk to you about, do you ever take back a cheetah in the light of that Norwegian winter Olympian with his bronze medal but his love life in tatters? Sophie, we're going to talk about school behaviour, but into the realm of politics. And we learnt, didn't we, right at the top of the show, that growth, sadly, is at 0.1%, roughly what economists thought. So how to get growth going again? Well, the Liberal Democrats have an idea. And let's hear it, put forward by Daisy Cooper, who is the party's deputy leader and indeed the Treasury spokesperson. So just a quick one, if I can start with, if I may, Daisy Cooper, a view on that growth figure, 0.1%. Morning to you.
Good morning. Look, we've had two growth-crushing budgets in a row from this government now, and the results are clear to see. Growth has effectively flatlined in the economy, and it can't go on like this. You know, people are working harder and harder, paying more and more in tax, and getting less and less in return. And the only way to stop this doom loop is to get Britain growing again.
And you've got an idea specifically as regards growth, growth and Whitehall. What is it, Daisy?
Our idea is that at the moment the Treasury is doing too much. It's trying to look after tax and spend, it's trying to look after economic growth, and it's trying to make sure that departments are spending their money well. And because they're doing so much, they are over-centralised and prioritise short-term tax grabs over long-term growth. And we've seen the examples with the winter fuel payments and with the family farm tax and the jobs tax as well. So our idea is to split up the Treasury to create a new powerful department for growth that will be really focused on getting growth so that we can end the cost of living crisis, and to move it out of the Westminster London-centric way that we run the government and put it in Birmingham.
How many staff work at the Treasury?
So there's about 2,000 staff that work at the Treasury, and there's around 6,000 to 7,000 staff that work at the business Department for Business and Trade. And our plan would be to take some members from the Treasury and the Department of Business and Trade, combine them so that all those different bits are pulling in the same direction, and to put them in Birmingham.
But you know there are regional centres already for the Treasury, don't you?
Yes, so there's the Darlington Hub, but that is a campus. It doesn't actually change the structures of government. It's just a sort of outpost for the existing government structures.
And
it doesn't break down the
Norwich
existing silos.
There's another one in Norwich. The total number of staff is 3,110. They're all going to be reemployed in the Department for Growth, are they?
No, we think that some of those hubs can stay in place. The difference is that all those hubs do at the moment is retain the existing government structures that aren't working, that are not designed to deliver growth, but have people in different parts of the country. What our plan would do is fundamentally redesign the institutions at the heart of government in the way that other countries have done, like Ireland, Australia and America. They've made this deliberate split in this way because it helps to focus minds on getting economic growth.
Will this result in job losses?
I don't think it should. I mean, let's
not
forget.
It's your idea. Will it or won't it?
But we have no plans for this to mean job losses. What I would say is
so there are. So who will do the work that they're doing now, then, these 2,110 people?
There are government departments at the moment that are running redundancy schemes. So we don't know how big these government departments would be at the time of the next general election. But we have no plans for this particular move to require any redundancies.
All right, just lastly, your party leader, Sir Ed Davey, seemed to have the most powerful intervention yesterday that I saw in the House of Commons concerning questions over Sir Keir's judgment and the way that people who have associations with paedophiles seem to enjoy his promotion recently. Can I have a word on that?
Yeah, I think Ed Davey asked some very incisive questions. I think the Prime Minister, I guess basically Ed Davey touched a nerve, didn't he? And the Prime Minister responded accordingly. He was clearly very angry and wanted to lash out at our party leader. But that is as a result of Ed asking very precise, very incisive questions, highlighting the fact that the Prime Minister has displayed on more than one occasion a catastrophic error of judgment.
Daisy Cooper is Deputy Leader of the Liberal Democrats, the party's Treasury spokesperson, talking about the idea of farewell to the Treasury, bring in the Department for Growth. Thank you for your time. There'll be more from Daisy Cooper on that press conference later today. Jen is in Chelmsford. Coming back to the cheating Norwegian Olympian. Would you ever take back a cheetah, or does a leopard not change its spots? Jenny?
Absolutely not.
Tell me
absolutely
yours.
Not. Tell I was met someone in 1995.
Yes.
Got with them, got pregnant, had two children. In 2005, I found out that he'd had an affair with someone we both worked with. Basically called his bluff and he admitted it. Anyway, right. We were apart for about 3 months. Then the girl obviously didn't want to know him anymore.
Right.
So I took him back.
Right.
And was really happy. The trouble with me is I'm completely and utterly loyal.
Right. Well, and I don't know that we should say that's a trouble, by the way, but anyway.
Well, yes, I know.
Yes.
In 2018, we'd not had a wonderful marriage. We'd, you know, ups and downs, money worries,
oh, Lord, yes.
Bits and pieces. And then in 2018, we went on a Caribbean cruise together.
Right.
Came back, and after 3 days of coming back, he owed a friend money and he'd lied about it and I called him out on it. And he said, anyway, tomorrow morning I'm leaving you. I've got someone else.
Oh, good gracious.
I'm going off. Yes, yeah. And that was, so,
how
another
long you've been
15
married 20,
years later.
How many years? 20, hang on, I'm trying to do my song. How many
20 years we'd been married. 20 years, right. Yeah. Yeah. So, as my mum said in 2005, do not take him back. Leopards don't change their spots. They don't.
So your advice is...
However, now, I am the happiest I've ever been.
Right.
And I would still be there. So that is the problem with loyalty. I would still be there if he hadn't left.
You sound a little angry, though. You say you're happy, but are you sort of happily angry or angrily happy?
I'm only angry and sad because my daughter doesn't speak to me.
Oh, no, my love. That's...
And hasn't done for... since 2019.
Oh,
yeah.
That's horrible. Why?
I don't know. Yes, I mean, when I said that to her before, it wasn't me that went off and had affairs. She said, well, you made him do it.
Oh, for goodness sake. How old is your daughter?
28 now.
I do hope there's a reconciliation. There has to be. Jenny, a happy Jenny. Thank you. Although you want to get back with your door, I can understand that. Thank you for that. We'll go a minute late to news because Sophie's in because Sophie is in Burgess Hill and wants to talk about school behaviour. Sophie, thank you for hanging on the line. What is this problem of ill discipline? What does it come down to?
Obviously, budget cuts and all of that has made a huge difference. I totally get the school environment is changing. But I think that children have an issue with their screen time addictions and parents are normalising it and making it okay. I have a friend of my son who is 8 years old. He owns an iPhone. He owns a PlayStation.
Oh
he owns
God.
An iPad. He also has a virtual reality set.
Oh,
all of these
God.
Things
he's
are
eight.
Age. He's 8 years old. Yeah, he's 8 years old.
That's nuts.
And all of these things should come with health warnings. You know, Meta, the VR set says that it's only appropriate for ages 10 and upwards, and that is limited to 5 minutes. You know, there's a reason why Steve Jobs, Bill Gates don't give their kids iPhones until they're 14 at a minimum. It's because they are addictive tools and kits that should not be allowed for children of this age.
I think you've really nailed it. I think social media, in so many aspects of our life, particularly though in the classroom, Sophie, an 8-year-old, I'm staggered with that. Sophie, have a good one. Have a good day. The music means we must move on. But we move on actually by coming back to the story. We got so busy, we didn't manage to get back. So plenty of more views still to come on this foul view from the Manchester United co-owner, Sir Jim Ratcliffe.
You can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and, huge levels of immigrants coming in. I mean, the UK has been colonised.
While he might be right on the benefit figure, he's surely wrong with his choice of language. And that exclusive report on how South American gangs are fueling the surge in jewellery store raids, particularly across London and the rest of the country. Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, pressure's building on one of the UK's richest men to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. Manchester United's co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe made the comments in an interview. Number 10 says the billionaire's remarks play into the hands of those who want to divide our country. Political activist Gina Miller has told Nick the comments need to be withdrawn.
Just about everything he said was incorrect. You know, for somebody supposedly you said very successful, but using this sort of populist divisive offensive language is ignorant, and it doesn't offer any policy solutions, which is what we need. I mean, in the sum of what he says is obvious. I mean, yes, of course we can't have such a high benefits bill.
Greater Manchester's Mayor Andy Burnham has just issued a statement saying Sir Jim's remarks are insulting and inflammatory. Britain's economy grew by just 0.1% in the final 3 months of last year. It was the same rate as the previous quarter, with statisticians calling it a subdued growth. A government minister has rejected claims that Sir Keir Starmer has a catastrophic lack of judgment when making senior appointments. Sir Keir is under fresh pressure for putting his former communications director, Matthew Doyle, in the House of Lords. It's emerged that Lord Doyle helped campaign for a Labour councillor who was charged and later convicted of child sex offences. Justice Minister Jake Richards has told Nick Sir Keir has taken action.
Just this week, he's taken the whip away from Matthew Doyle and has launched an investigation.
Having promoted him, knowing his background.
Well, I'm not sure that's quite right. The announcement
He said in Parliament that he knew.
The announcement of the peerage on the 10th of December came before the Times story on the 27th of
December.
He could
have blocked it.
We have to look at how this process takes place in government. It clearly can be better. There is no question about that.
Lord Doyle has apologised, saying it was an error of judgment. To bring you some breaking news, we're hearing the Metropolitan Police have issued a statement saying a 13-year-old boy has been charged with two counts of attempted murder after two boys were seriously injured in a stabbing at Kingsbury High School in Brent in northwest London earlier this week. We'll bring you more on this story in LBC's news bulletins throughout the day. A plan to lower the voting age to 16 in all UK elections will be introduced in the Commons later. The bill also includes tougher regulation of foreign funding of political parties. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 18 at 10,492. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow at times, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after nine, Thursday the 12th of February. Time to apologise, that's the view of Sir Keir Starmer on Sir Jim Ratcliffe, A Tale of Two Knights, and his comments about the country being colonised by immigrants. We will come back to that, because we hardly got into it, because he spoke so much about cheating. Who knew there was so much infidelity abroad? Plus, I'll take you back to early this month, when the jewellers in Richmond was robbed by masked and hooded men wielding sledgehammers.
Call in the police! Yes. Call the police! Yes.
That thumping you can hear is a sledgehammer bashing into the glass, which, by the way, they peel off a bit like a windscreen these days. It doesn't shatter, you have to peel it off, and then they help themselves to watches. Well, LBC has exclusively learned that there's a hook with gangs from South America. Stay tuned for more on that. Plus, this idea of the initiative. Now that young people, 17 and below, caught in possession of a knife, certainly first time, definitely first time, not necessarily second time, first time, will have some kind of mentoring, what's called a turnaround programme, explained in part by Justice Minister Jake Richards in the first hour of the show.
What the programmes aim to undertake is to ensure that they get the tailored support that they need to ensure they don't enter into a life of crime.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
I guarantee we will give this a proper run. It was just we got so busy in the first round. So many people want to have your say on what Sir Jim Ratcliffe has said. And the Prime Minister, indeed, in part of them, saying that he needs to apologise for this part of the interview with Sky News.
At the moment, I don't think the economy is in a good... You can't afford... you can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and huge levels of immigrants coming in. I mean, the UK is being colonised. It's costing too much money. It will cause... Well, yeah. The UK is being colonised by immigrants, really, isn't it? I mean, the population of the UK was 58 million in 2020. Now it's 70 million.
He's wrong. You do hear Ed Conway from Sky News given the chance to row back, and there's no rowing back. The ONS, Office for National Statistics, population in the UK was actually 67 million in 2020. That means it's increased by 3 million. The figure that he does appear to be right, though, is the number of people who are on benefits, around 9 million. Now, in the first hour of the show, I spoke with leading Conservative Shadow Chancellor from Mel Stride. He gave me this view.
Well, I wouldn't use that phraseology. I wouldn't say colonised, because I think it sounds like there's some kind of nefarious reason behind people coming to our country, which is not the case. But he is certainly speaking to something that is of huge concern to people up and down the country, and that is high levels of migration. Which is why at the tail end of the last Conservative government we did bring in changes to the visa requirements that have actually seen those numbers very dramatically.
But he's got his figures wrong, Samuel.
He's suggested that there'd been a 12 million increase in the size of the population from 2020 when it's only about 3 million.
Broadly supportive of his sentiments, just to clarify.
I think the sentiment, let me choose my words carefully. I think I'm certainly supportive of the notion that people are rightly concerned about the level of migration into our country, which is why we did bring in changes at the tail end of the last government that have seen those numbers substantially fall. There is more work to do, and certainly on illegal migration, where, of course, we have very strong proposals to deal with that as well.
And we really only touched the surface in the previous hour. Here's a little of what you said to some of your callers, starting with Martin in Rotherhithe.
While I wouldn't have used the word colonised, I do think there's some. Yeah, I do agree with the sentiment of what he was saying. You know, in the last 20 years or so, we have had huge numbers of people come to this country. And, you know, while most people think immigration's a good idea, providing it's in sensible amount, the last 20 years or so, the numbers have been huge. And there are parts of this country, and particularly London, where I know well, which are unrecognisable from when I was a teenager. Last year, I went to a rugby match at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fact that I can remember this from a year ago, I'll explain why. I got off the train at Seven Sisters, and it's about a 20-minute walk up to the stadium. And this was in the middle of a Saturday afternoon, you know, rammed, lots of people out and about. For that 20-minute walk, I did not hear one person speak English. And I can still remember that now.
Ray in Sunningdale.
I'm just sick and tired of these people complaining about migration. I am involved in politics in Sierra Leone, and we're looking at taking back our minerals, of which we have 44 minerals that are controlled by multinationals that extract the raw dirt with no value-added job for the local. How do you expect those human beings to survive? That's what creates the illegal migration and the boats that you're talking about, because people have to live, and we have a situation where when we want to take our minerals, we're threatened with sanctions and so on and so forth. If the people don't have jobs, what do you expect them to do?
Phil on social media says, stop the fake outrage. His comments are correct. The only mistake was dates. He clearly meant 2000, not 2020. Dennis in Everton, what he said is correct. People should open their eyes, see what our country has become. We're going to be held up of having thrown our country away, whatever that might be. Michael's in Hillingdon. Michael, your reaction. Good morning.
Yes, hi. Good morning, Nick.
Hi, Michael.
I'm a first-time caller.
Great to have you on. What's the point you want to make, sir?
Yeah, it's okay for, say Jim Ratcliffe to moan about the colonising of immigrants in this country, but he has colonised the Medicare support staff with cheap immigrant or offsprings of immigrant labour.
Do you visit Old Trafford regularly?
I am a season ticket holder. I've been there for 40 years, and I've been and I've seen everything. I'm also a member of Man United supporters.
So I'm afraid I've only ever been there once, and that was for an England game. I've never actually seen Manchester United play there many years ago. Are most of the staff then, the stewards and the bar staff and others, they're mostly from overseas, would you say, Michael?
Yes, either immigrant themselves or the offsprings of immigrants, because they are just cheap labour. Jim Ratcliffe is making a fortune out of immigrants, you know, fortune out of United stewards. And
How angry are you by the comments of your club's co-owner?
Well, I'll tell you honestly, Nick, I didn't sleep well last night because I was fuming. I'm taking a banner on Crystal Palace game, and the place where I sit is right opposite the sub bench, and Jim Ratcliffe sits above the sub bench.
Yes.
And
what is your banner going to say?
And I'm going to say, who colonized who first. And not all immigrants are on benefits. I'm a pensioner. I'm still working. I'm still working, and I'm happy to do so.
Right.
And I think that was, I mean, Jim Ratcliffe should go to any high street. Thanks to the immigrants, the shutters are up.
You mean the stores are open? Absolutely. Michael, enjoy the game. Thank you with your banner. Safe travels. Thanks, Michael. John in Woodford. John, what would you say to Sir Jim? Good morning.
Oh, hello. Hello, Nick. Yeah, the point is, this thing about benefits, it's a very high figure, but do we realise, everybody realise, that a lot of benefits are paid to people in full-time employment because of the cost of living?
Yes,
and therefore, it's because their employers are not paying them enough.
So it's estimated there's more than 2 million people who are in some form of work who have to top up their income, effectively.
So the government is actually helping out the employers by helping to keep their workers at work by paying. You know, it's he really has got it wrong, and that should be pointed out, shouldn't it?
Should, absolutely. And you just have John. Thank you. Andrew in Walthamstow. What would you say to Sir Jim? Good morning.
Actually, I agree on a lot of what he says. With regards to immigration, yes, immigration is important. However, since the vast amount of people coming in, many of them coming over on boats.
It seems a vast number, but if you'll allow, it's, and I put this in quotes, only 40-odd thousand a year. I know that's a vast number, but in terms of 3 million, I think we do have to give it some kind of perspective, context. But go on, Andrew.
Right. The Labour government says, yes, we need doctors. The people coming across on boats or throwing their ID away.
Yes, they're not doctors.
They are not doctors. And the areas that I live in, I had people jumping onto the back of my van while I'm in a petrol station.
Sorry, why would they jump onto the back of your van?
For transportation.
Where do they want to go?
God knows where they want to go.
Sorry, so you pull up your van in Walthamstow to fill it up with diesel or petrol or whatever, and people jump on it?
In Woodford, near Chigwell, two people jumped on the back of my van. I saw them jump on. I went into Hackney. I had someone help me get one of them out. Another one was hiding right in the back. We went through the back of the tunnel, and one of them jumped off the van as we came out of the tunnel. Now, this, obviously, they are... Yeah, I know. It sounds incredible, and that's what happened. And a lot of the areas in London, you see people hanging out in the streets. They are not working.
That's not unique to people, to immigrants arriving in this country, Andrew.
No, we have the place in Essex, in Epping.
That is the case. I think you refer there, of Epping, to the Ethiopian. We can say now he's an asylum seeker, and of course he's a sex offender after he made inappropriate sexual advances towards that woman. Okay, Andrew, so you think Sir Jim is onto something? I mean, you talk about immigrants. I just remind you, the National Health Service, fortunately I haven't had any association with it lately, but when I did, I wouldn't have been treated with that. Hadn't been people who were not born in this country, I'd probably still be bleeding in the hospital. We're nearly chopping my finger off if it hadn't been for people who'd not come born in the United Kingdom. But that's the other side. We'll come back to that. Also after the news.
After a jeweller's in Richmond was struck in broad daylight, we've been told organised criminal networks from abroad are fuelling smash-and-grab raids across the UK. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the exclusive.
Yes, that report will follow the 9:15 LBC News headlines from Dominic Ellis.
A 13-year-old boy has been charged with two counts of attempted murder after two boys were seriously injured in a stabbing in northwest London. Pressure's building on one of the UK's richest men, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. And Britain's economy grew by just 0.1% in the final 3 months of last year. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25, anti-clockwise to junction 26 at Waltham Abbey. A van's broken down on the exit slip road, but there are delays back into the main carriageway. Also, problems continue for the Albert Bridge. It's closed both ways for these emergency works. So, lengthy delays in the area, especially northbound over Battersea and Chelsea bridges. Very slow still on Putney High Street after the accident much earlier on. The North Circular Road's very slow going towards the Cooks Ferry interchange. Westbound, it's because of an accident. Only one lane is open and there are delays all the way back to Waterworks Corner. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the District Line. Also, no service for the Elizabeth Line between the Heathrow terminals.
LBC.
Club card accepted.
Feel the power to lower prices with Tesco Club Card. Get a Cadbury milk tray, now £5, down from £10. Helping you share the love this Valentine's Day. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores, milk tray 445 grams, ends 14th February. Club Card or app required.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Here at Southeastern, we know a bit of good news goes a long way, however big or small it may be. So we wanted to let you know that we're continuing to make improvements across our network. From sprucing up our trains and many of our stations to make your journey nicer, to improving the network to minimise delays, we're investing in making your journey with us better, one step at a time. Find out more at southeasternrailway.co.uk/betterjourneys.
With the Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Mmm. Little. More to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability. Ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/LPTV.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Dominic says, amazing Sir Jim can keep such a close eye on the UK migration from Monaco. Maybe when he lives and pays taxes in the UK, he can weigh in on how the government spends ours, but not at the moment his, taxes. Meanwhile, Angela in Greenwich says, I totally agree with Jim Ratcliffe. There are parts of the UK that are unrecognisable. But Angela, you could have said that century when Jewish people started arriving in the East End, when the Irish people started arriving, all I ever hear is Irish accents. Now they've added to the richness of society, haven't they? Look, Leicester, a city, I know really, really well. When my mum was growing up, it's utterly unrecognisable. But you can't just say that is a wholly negative thing. It's a way a country evolves, a modern country evolves, isn't it? Derek's in Edgware. Derek, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, firstly, thank you for a very insightful programme. Just regarding your last point in terms of Jews, of course, it wasn't millions of Jews that came into this country. But anyway, I feel that the issue, the point is being missed, and that is it's not the quantity of immigrants that's the issue, although that's important. What's far more important is the qualitative nature of immigrants. You know, while many of these immigrants coming in are integrating, many are not. And it's not because of external obstacles preventing their immigration. This country offers immigrants above and beyond. It's because many do not seek to integrate. And on the contrary, they build barriers to integration. And they come from countries...
What are those barriers? By the way, I do think integration is a key.
Let me finish.
Yeah. I just want to say, what are those barriers, Derek?
Okay, they come from self-imposed. They come from countries with no history of democracy, no history of tolerance, no history of multi-faith coexistence, and very often inherently anti-Semitic and anti-Western countries. And they bring with them to this country this inherent thinking and this inherent belief, and they do not seek to evolve or change in that thinking. And not only that, this country, unlike many other Muslim countries, does not ban Islamist preachers, does not ban Islamist organizations. On the contrary, the Muslim Brotherhood and other organizations such like that thrive in this country.
Right.
You know, has one ever wondered why Muslim countries don't allow...
Why have you taken us straight to a conversation about Muslims or about Islam, Derek?
Sorry?
Why have you taken us to a conversation about Islam, about Muslims?
Because I think the major problem is within Islam. Is within
Sir Jim Ratcliffe doesn't talk
Islamist
about that.
Islam.
Derek, no, you've got to allow two-way conversation. When you're making comments such as this, you've got to allow me to challenge you to a degree. Sir Jim is not going into the world of Islam or Muslims. Why are you?
Because I think that's the elephant in the room. That's why. Because the issue is with Islamist Islamists that have come into this country, thrive in this country, and divide this country. And the reason...
How are they dividing this country?
How they're dividing? Because they don't embrace democracy, they don't embrace tolerance, they don't embrace multi-faith coexistence.
And you don't have to tell me this, but I sense from your accent you were not born here, or you chose to come here?
I'm an immigrant to this country.
What
that
attracted
has integrated,
you?
And what, that proudly stands...
Derek, when you're making these comments, you've got to allow it to be a two-way street. I'm sorry, so I'm really am going to have to impose them. And what attracted you to come and live in the UK?
British values, democracy, tolerance...
And how long have we had you here?
Multi-faith existence...
And how long have you been living here?
I've been here many, many years.
And do you sense that's now going? The qualities that attracted you to come to the UK, are they now diminishing?
Yes, because I think for many of the immigrants that have come to this country, and certainly not all, but many, they do not embrace these values of democracy and tolerance and multi-faith coexistence.
And this is where you have concerns about third world countries, and some of those third world countries who have Muslim populations. That's the point you want to get across.
No, I'm saying, ironically, I think everybody realizes that you don't see a reality where Muslim countries take in millions of Christians and Jews to become citizens in Qatar or Egypt. And do we regard that as racist? No. It's because those countries are Muslim, they're not Judeo-Christian, and they wish to maintain that reality of their country.
Derek, it's been an interesting conversation. Let's see what others make of it. We'll come back to more of your reactions. But let's go to that story I've mentioned on a couple of occasions, and the link between jewellery stores and luxury watches and gangs from South America and Europe. It's understood, or LBC has discovered, that organised criminal networks are increasingly targeting smash-and-grab raids to capitalise on the soaring price in gold and silver. Here are the details. LBC's reporter Henry Riley joining us from Richmond, where, of course, there was that high-profile attack earlier this month. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, and of course, building on what you were discussing yesterday with Christian May from City AM, the total value of luxury high-end watches registered as lost or stolen, hitting £1.7 billion last year. And as you say, I'm currently outside Gregory & Co. Jewellers in Richmond. That was struck in broad daylight by masked men wielding a sledgehammer less than 2 weeks ago.
Calling the police! Yes, call the police!
Still no arrests, but it's the most high-profile example in a recent spate of raids on jewellers across the UK. A proud family shop left shaken. Now, in 2025, there were around two smash-and-grab robberies across the country each month, but this year that rate has soared to two per week, with half here in the capital. It means over £2 million worth of necklaces, chains and watches have already been stolen so far. Sarah Staff, a former flying squad detective who now works with jewellers to beef up their security, says that South American gangs are fuelling the big increase.
The South American organised crime groups are very, very proficient. They operate like a military precision in the functions and roles that they have to do to be able to steal the item. And then that will very quickly be leaving the UK, and they will already have had their route to go back to America or to Europe to dispose of those items. They're in and out of the UK within sort of 48 hours.
Staff, who runs the intelligence sharing network Safer Gems on behalf of around 4,500 jewellers, says the reason we've seen such a steep increase in these crimes is due to the surging prices of precious metals. Gold prices hit a peak of over £4,000 per ounce in January, while silver surged by 120% in just a year. Now, these valuables are then sold by organised criminal gangs to international buyers or smelted down, and it's created serious anxiety for the sector. We spoke with Chris, who runs a jeweller's shop in Richmond. He's been targeted three times in recent years.
You used to have so many officers in the town, and you did notice there was very little problems with robberies. I think even shoplifting. Police response times are generally pretty slow, everyone knows. Lack of police presence nowadays. They know they can get away with it.
Separately, last week, three men were jailed for a total of 51 years following a Met Police investigation into a £1.1 million robbery of a luxury watch shop here in this same part of southwest London. Nick, the Met have previously said in relation to the break-in that we saw at Gregory & Co. just a few weeks ago, they recognise the real impact it has on communities. They'll be relentless in bringing those people to justice and are pursuing several lines of inquiry.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting. Let's come back to the views of Sir Jim Ratcliffe. More importantly, your views or the views of Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Ben's in Swansea. Ben, the point you want to make. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Good morning. Bear with me through this if you can. I just think that there's, you know, we're talking about this. We seem to still be engaging in this kind of culture war. I don't think it's real anymore. I don't see why anyone believes this, has any reason to talk about this anymore.
I do think the high number of people who are on unemployment benefit, I do think that's holding growth back.
Well, it is, but at the same time, where is that growth? Where's the impetus for that growth? I mean, all of the decision-making seems to be made by a cabal of very dodgy people, doesn't it? I mean, our concerns and our decisions, this is the point I made last week, actually, you know, they have no bearing on any of this. All of this.
So, do you mean the government? Just to clarify, who has no bearing? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the government, the so-called decision makers, are at the behest of people that, you know, whose motives we don't really understand or aren't supposed to understand, are we? So this is all a nonsense. I think until we address that, it's hard to engage these individual issues, isn't it, and have a meaningful discussion about them.
So who do you see then as the sinister men or women in grey suits behind our politicians? Just elaborate.
Okay, cool. So there's funds. There are sort of large mega corporations who lobby our government, in part using entrapment methods such as those we've been discussing for the past.
But lobbying goes on. There are lobbying groups of farmers. There are lobbying groups of hoteliers. There are lobbying groups of financiers. They're lobbied by everyone, Ben.
I understand, but our ministers and our policymakers shouldn't be so beholden to a lobby to the extent that our votes and our concerns, as I mentioned, aren't addressed, really. I mean, we have this layer of what is a kind of false democracy that we are supposed to believe in, us, the public, us having
you
these discussions
now. You don't
think
we have democracy in this country?
It's not real. It's just not real, is it? It's not real. The policy decisions are not made through the democratic process. They're made through these deals that happen under the table.
All governments would say, well, we do publish a manifesto and then we try and enact our manifesto, Ben, is what they would say.
Yeah, but who got them into power, Nick?
Us, the people who vote for them.
Not necessarily. It's the people who lobbied for that campaign.
Where do you live, Swansea? I don't know who your local MP is, but as and when the elections come around, five, six people put themselves forward and you and your colleague, your friends and contemporaries and others in Swansea decide to vote. That's how these folk get into power. You know that.
But on a national level, I mean, what happens? Look at the kind of materials that these people disseminate prior to, you know, being elected. You know, the promises they make, the claims they make. I mean, they more often than not turn out not to be true.
All right. And certainly there is an argument, which I thought you were going to go when I mentioned the manifesto, in that they can effectively promise what they like and then either not deliver or do the complete opposite, such as university tuition fees. Ben, thank you. Sarah in Croydon. Sarah, your view on what Ratcliffe is saying. Good morning.
Hi, morning. I don't agree with him at all. I think, in a similar to some of your callers, he doesn't live in this country, doesn't pay his taxes here, and also is employing a lot of immigrants.
Yes,
this country is run by immigrants, quite frankly.
This country is run by immigrants, did you say?
Well, it is. And I can speak first-handedly because my father's just been having cancer treatment in hospital. Ah. He's had very, very long stays, and I've been with him. And I've seen
the
majority
of the staff.
You mean
it's maintained by immigrants, possibly, rather than run by?
Yes. And, you know, the majority of the staff there are immigrants. I spoke to a few of them.
Yep.
They come over from abroad because, the pay is not very well in the NHS. And a lot of the people that are educated here will go abroad to be doctors and nurses because they get paid better abroad. But then, you know, the ones from less developed countries will come here because the pay is not great, but at least they've got a job, which no one else, you know, it's
when you visit your dad, broadly speaking, do they seem happy, these folk? Are they happy to be here or do they feel that they're being exploited in some fashion?
No, they're very grateful. They are very grateful. And it was the most wonderful staff. We've gotten to know all of them.
Yeah.
And just excellent quality of care, I have to say.
How is that?
You know. He's doing better.
Will you get him out of hospital, do you think, soon?
I hope so, yeah. Hopefully soon.
Good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you for sharing so much. Best wishes to your dad. Coming up after the news, we go back to a conversation we had in the first hour with the relevant minister, talking about how children 17 and below caught with knives will go into mentoring programmes or something called Turnaround. Justice Minister Jake Richards.
When a child is ever caught with a knife, we will guarantee that there will be intensive intervention to ensure that that child does not return to a life of criminality.
And that's after this. It's 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. The news with Dominic Ellis.
Pressure is building on one of the UK's richest men to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. Manchester United's co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe made the comments in an interview. A 13-year-old boy has been charged with attempted murder after two boys were stabbed at a school in northwest London on Tuesday. The teenager, who can't be named, is due to appear at Westminster Magistrates Court later today. And the UK economy grew by 0.1% in the final quarter of last year. The Office for National Statistics says 2025 was a year of subdued growth. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and the north of England will see some patchy rain and hill snow at times. A high of 12 degrees.
This is LBC.
You know that guy I've been seeing?
Yeah.
Turns out my sister's been seeing him too.
Oh, really?
And I heard he's been seeing Kelly at number 56. And Dave.
Your brother?
Yep.
Specsavers opticians and audiologists own and run their stores, so your care is their business, which can make them rather popular.
I've got something to tell you. I've got half an hour with him this afternoon.
Specsavers. Your care is our business. Book an appointment today.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big motoring world. We're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
With a Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Mmm. Little. More to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability. Ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/LPTV.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Time for some good news. The number of teenage homicides, why do they call them homicides? Because they're not always murders, okay? I do want to, oh, it's become so Americanized. They don't all end up as murder. Manslaughter, unlawful killing, etc. The number of teenage homicides per year in England, Wales, has fallen by nearly a half. It's its lowest level in more than 10 years. I know it doesn't feel like it, but that is a fact. And accompanying that, there's also been a sharp drop in the number of teenage homicides involving a knife or sharp instrument. They've fallen from 59 year on year from 54 and then down to 31. So that is all progress as well. I know it doesn't feel like it. I know it doesn't. But that is progress. And the government wants to take it further. They've got the idea that children caught carrying a knife by police will face compulsory mentoring instead of being prosecuted. This will always be for first time, of 17 and below, by the way, is defined as a child in legal circle, illegal business, legal matters, probably. So 17 and below, always not necessarily a second offence. It's something called a turnaround programme, but how will it work? Here's a brief part of what Justice Minister Jake Richards explained to me in the first hour of the show.
This government has a commitment to halve knife crime over the next decade. You've just intimated that we've made some progress in that.
Yes,
but as we've seen this week, tragically, one incident is far too many. And so this announcement is about tackling the causes of knife crime. When a child is ever caught with a knife, we will guarantee that there will be intensive intervention to ensure that that child does not return to a life of criminality. And we're backing that up with funding. So we are announcing today £320 million for youth justice services over the next 3 years and £15 million a year for a specialist programme called Turnaround, which is working across the country already at helping young people turn their backs to crime. This shows, I hope, the government's commitment to this very critical issue, which so many of your listeners and viewers will be worried about.
OK. How does Turnaround actually work then? What happens in the programme, Minister?
Well, it depends very much on the circumstances of every case. Every child is different. But the aim
is
to ensure...
When we say child, is this 17 and below? Just to get the age range. What age range are we talking about?
Yes, anyone who's below the age of 18 is a minor under our laws.
Okay.
And what the programmes aim to undertake is to ensure that they get the tailored support that they need to ensure they don't enter into a life of crime. And it's absolutely crucial. Now, that may be a health issue, that may be an educational issue, it may be a housing issue, but we have so many agencies and support across government and local government, but sometimes children can fall through the cracks. And this is a specialist service which works with those children on the cusp of criminality to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks and that we stop crime.
What are the sort of people who will work in the Turnaround scheme? What is their skill set?
Well, lots of youth justice workers, and I pay tribute to the work they do up and down the country. They're often hidden heroes. They may have a background in education, in healthcare, in social work. But critically, it's multidisciplinary. And what I mean by that is working across different sectors, across different government services, to ensure that every child gets the tailored support they need to turn their back on crime. And look, it's working. As I've said already, the Turnaround programme has really good success rates, over 92%
of children. So what happens with a young person? Do they go to courses or something? What would he or she do?
Well, Nick, it very much depends on the circumstances.
Well, give me an example.
If a child is perhaps struggling significantly with their mental health and is found with a knife which might be linked to those mental health concerns, and they may be on a waiting list, as we know, which is far too long, Youth Justice Services can help make sure that individual gets urgent and rapid support. It may be to do with their schooling and education. It may be to do with all three, which is why we need a team that is dedicated to ensure that a child gets everything they need to turn their back on crime. Because look, we know that too often, if a child commits a crime below the age of 18, whether it's knife crime or something else actually, Nick, they go on to a life of criminality which affects our communities more generally. So we have to nip this in the bud and tackle the causes of crime by early intervention with children.
Justice Minister Jake Richards there. Joy says, at last, you're praising something the government is doing and you're right to do it. Thank you for pointing out that those crimes are falling. I'm always happy to point out. I should say this fall has been filling over 10 years, of which, of course, Labour responsible for the last 18, little over 18 months. But yes, it is there. Someone else who asked me to retain his or her name, as they are a working police officer, obviously I will. The elephant in the room is the total lack of police resources. Not just uniformed police officers, more than a third of police stations closed. No specialist police units there to counter violent crime or any other crime. Flying squad no longer carries out armed intervention. Surveillance teams are almost non-existent against robbers, burglars and other crimes. You're also, of course, referring to our report as regards the rising price of the gold fueling all the robbery, or not all the robberies, many of the robberies on jewellery stores across, particularly down here in the southeast. Let's talk about this with Bill in Hounslow. Bill, it does appear to be working. What do you make of this new initiative? Good morning.
Nick, morning, mate. How are you doing, right?
Hello, sir. Good, thanks, Governor.
Good. Now, Nick, we've got to stop mollycoddling these people, these kids. We've got to start teaching them a lesson. We've got, on a first offence for carrying a knife, they should be put in a juvenile holding place for at least 4 weeks.
Where some of them are just going to learn more about crime.
Well, yeah, but everybody says that, Nick, but they don't.
Well,
all right?
Have you served
not all
time?
Of them. Some of them are destined for a life of crime.
Yes. Have you served time?
Me?
Yes.
No,
nor have I, but I do speak to people who have, who have experience of living inside jails, and not everybody, but a lot of young people arrive on the fringes of crime, and then going through the university, they leave, and they're fully sold on a life of crime. We have to be aware of that.
Yeah, I understand that, Nick, but I'm saying that's few and far between as far as I'm concerned. Now, Nick, if they get caught with it, I mean, we see on social media every day, about gangs in high streets waving machetes about.
I know.
It's just sickening, Nick. And the thing is, what I think schools should do, which I do in America, is take some of the kids that might be a bit iffy, and they take them round prisons to speak to real prisoners and let them know. Because the kids nowadays think that prison is just a land of milk and honey where they get Xboxes and anything like that. So there's no deterrent.
I don't know. Do we take lessons from the United States in how to deal with violent crime?
No, I'm not saying take lessons, but I'm saying it does work for some of them. But Nick, I've got to tell you another thing.
Go on.
I've got three sons. They're in their 50s now.
Yes.
Right. Now, you wouldn't think that me talking like this, because I've got a young voice.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Have you got grandchildren?
Yeah, I've got 8.
And have you got teenage grandsons?
Yeah, I've got 14-year-old, I've got teenage granddaughters, I've got a grandson of 24.
How nervous are you about that teenage boy going out? I assume he's in or around London, going out on the streets.
I'm very nervous.
What worries you?
What worries me about it is that incident at the school. Yesterday, where there are
some charges, so I'll just leave that if I may, sir, because as you've heard on the LBC News Bulletin. Now, lastly, if you've got a young lad, right, who has genuine mental health issues, he's been caught he's not used the knife, he's been caught in possession of a knife because he's stupid enough to think that he's actually safer carrying a knife, when everybody shows, all the figures show, you're far less safe carrying a knife. Why not at least try one turnaround programme for a month or so? Why not, Bill, if you can turn him around?
Look, Nick, I'm all for trying this sort of thing, but the thing is, it just becomes... Look, I'll just tell you one thing. Like, I've got 3 sons,
yes,
and they're in 50s, and yes, years ago, there was a film called Scum.
I remember it vaguely.
Yeah, now, my sons were, you know, they were boys and all that sort of thing, but a couple of them were mixing with the wrong people, and I made them sit down and watch the film Scum.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And I believe that film swayed them.
No, what swayed them, Bill, was having a dad who cared. And credit to you, and I would imagine your wife or their mother, who cared and who showed interest in them and who tried to, when it was all going a little bit, to use your expression, iffy, you sat them down. That is, in a sense, what this government is doing. We're going to sit them down, not to watch Scum, but we're going to sit them down and watch them. Why is it so wrong, Bill?
I'm not normally one
to praise this mob, but I do think they should at least be given a chance.
Right, Nick, I do agree that they should be given a chance.
And the love you showed your boys kept them on the straight and narrow. Let's just try with... It won't work with all kids, of course it won't, but it might work with some.
I know it won't work with some, but what I'm saying, Nick, is when you see these videos on social media with young boys...
They're gone. We've lost them. I agree with you. Anyone who's prepared to run up and down a high street, trying to hit someone with a machete, we have lost them, unfortunately. But that doesn't mean one further upstream, a young lad carrying a knife for the first time, not a machete. We shouldn't. Bill, well done with the work you did with your boys. Look after your grandchildren, I'm sure you will. Thank you, Bill. Gary in Tower Hamlet, same subject. What do you want to say, Gary? Good morning.
Yeah, I was listening, listening along, and I think perhaps there should be more of a deterrent out there with, perhaps put into place 1 year imprisonment per inch the length of knife if they've committed crime, obviously, on top of the crime they've committed with it.
Okay, so I don't know if that quite works, but if they've committed a crime using a knife, a serious crime, they're not going to be eligible for this turnaround programme. It's if they're caught in possession for the first time, though they haven't used it on anybody. I say again, is it not worth... double negative. Why is it not worth trying?
I don't think it's a case of not worth trying. I mean, perhaps they should introduce it into schools to teach them about knife crime rather than get to the stage where they're out carrying it and then giving them the part of it.
I hear what you're saying, Gary. Thank you. Angel says, children join gangs for safety and for money. They need help, so gangs don't look like a good option. They're coming from broken families, no money and with no future. They think that's all they can do with their lives. Open free youth clubs so they have something to do. I always used to think that was a bit of a dopey idea, but having now spoken with many people who work in this field, I think actually we did suffer a bit when those youth clubs went. Dave in Chesterfield says, these kids should be given a chance, but why should the taxpayer foot the bill? Drop the benefits for the parents for failing to raise a child. Well, Dave, because otherwise we pay the costs in other ways, don't we? In some instances, people pay the cost because they lose people to knife crime, or there's serious injuries, or there's National Health Service intervention, or policing costs. Charlie will continue with that with you after this. It's 9:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The co-owner of Manchester United, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, is coming under increasing pressure to apologise for saying the country has been colonised by immigrants. A 13-year-old boy has been charged with attempted murder after two boys were stabbed at a school in northwest London. And the UK economy grew by 0.1% in the final quarter of last year. LBC weather cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow, a high of 12 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 anti-clockwise from junction 18 at Chorley Wood to 16 at the M40. It's because a lorry's broken down and two lanes are closed. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency works, and that's causing severe delays in the area, especially northbound over Battersea and Chelsea bridges. In Cranford, the High Street is partially blocked both ways right near to the Parkway Junction. It's following an accident. On the Elizabeth Line, there's no service between the Heathrow terminals. It's all down to a signal failure. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the District line after a signal failure, and also minor delays on the entire Bakerloo line, and that's because of a shortage of trains.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Factually, morally and intellectually wrong, but most of the media will today debate whether Jim Ratcliffe's comments could somehow be correct. Thank goodness for Mystery Hour.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, and the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
Selling your car can be super simple if you choose We Buy Any Car. Now in their 20th year, they're on average 11 minutes away, so help is never far. If only they could make finding a good driving song simpler. No. No. Oh, definitely not. We Buy Any Car. Selling made simple. To sell your car today, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
A Southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
I did. It was so good.
We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
It's hard to concentrate when you're worried about your health. It can feel like there's a wall between you and the rest of the world. Like you can't be fully present.
Hello, AXA Health. How can I help?
At AXA Health Insurance, we build our teams with people who care. So when you need us, we're here to support you. For cover that cares, search AXA Health Insurance. Pre-existing conditions are not covered.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
We might come back to does sorry seem to be the hardest word or need to be the hardest word for Sir Jim Ratcliffe with his views, but we're talking about this knife crime initiative. I just want to read another couple of emails out. Sean says the reason there's no police on our streets is because they're all in London doing protests that have nothing to do with the rest of this country. There's a degree of anger there. This person, and I won't read his or her name, I'm a sergeant in the Met. This turnaround initiative won't work. Youth offending teams are already used as an alternative to conviction, but many of the kids simply don't turn up and continue offending. For some, voluntary programmes aren't enough. They need structured intervention in a secure setting with consistent mentoring and support. Thanks, Sarge. Charlie in Haywards Heath. Charlie, what chances do you give this? Morning.
Morning, Nick. I'm sorry, I missed a bit of the programme. Mine was just a very simple input.
Yes.
Walked through metal detectors. And I went to...
Oh, I see, at schools, you mean?
Yeah, I thought it's a no-brainer. Obviously, the first thing that they'll come back at is cost. So I just did a very simple Google search, and you can buy a metal detector, walk through £2,200 expat. So I then did a very simple Google search. Obviously, cost is important. A couple of personnel security guards range between £15 and £25 per hour to monitor it.
Right.
I know it's not as simple as that, Nick, but it was just a thought.
£2,000 plus VAT, plus, of course, the staff to do it. A kid comes through with a knife, though. They're going to have to be... what are those security guards going to do when it suddenly flashes and there's a kid with a large knife?
Well, if there's two of them, they presumably they're trained how to handle this. They take the child to one side and they... Right.
About the turnaround programme, the idea that was put forward by that minister saying that we're going to have mentoring programmes because in some instances these kids have got very little going on in their lives?
Well, that's a good point. And there's always good excuses, Nick. It was just a very simple...
calculation that you did, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you, Charlie. Joshua in Atherston. Joshua, your view on this. Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, so, I mean, I think one of the big problems is a lot of these kids, they need positive reinforcement. They need people who can tell them that actually they can succeed in life.
Right.
And we have a small youth club that we run on Mondays for free, volunteers.
Right.
And we've been doing this the last 3-4 years now.
What made you set it up? Why did you decide to get into it?
Well, so it wasn't me. I didn't set it up. It was our charity's director.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small charity in place in Atherston.
Right.
And a lot of it's about trying to have a positive influence in this area because
right.
actually where we had a lot of deprivation, a lot
are you
of
in,
families...
Are you in... is it in Warwickshire, Atherston?
Yes, that's right.
I do know where you are. Okay, right, yeah, go on. Yeah,
yeah, up near Tamworth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those areas that you just don't think about. It's, you know, overlooked a lot of the time. And we've had kids who've been caught carrying knives, done a little bit of drugs sometimes.
Right.
And then we have some who are absolutely fine,
yeah.
which is fantastic as well. And a lot of time we'll play pool with them, we'll get to know them. Some choose to engage, some don't. But
right, so you're uniquely positioned then, because you work in this line. Do you think, what chance do you give the turnaround programme?
I think it's hard to tell so far, but I've been listening this morning, but
mm-hmm.
I think it'll have a good chance as long as they have the programme, but they have something to support them with afterwards. You know, you can't just have a programme... it ends, and then there's no support afterwards. You've got to have that continuing relationship.
How long for?
To be honest, I'm still trying to work that out with some of ours.
How long have you been working with some of these kids?
For me, it's been the last about two and a half years now,
mm-hmm.
since I came on board with this. But, you know, Craig, our director, a lot longer. He's known lots of them a lot longer.
And tell me, typically, so you play pool or whatever it might be, or cards or table tennis or something, what do you do with them?
Yeah, so obviously over the winter it's a lot harder to go out and do stuff, but we have the pool set up,
mm-hmm.
Pool table set
yeah,
up,
yeah.
You know, table football, stuff like that, Uno... just a range of things out there. They can come to a safe space. They can talk. They can interact. We can get to know them. Occasionally, once a term, we try to go out and do bowling, stuff like that. We try to subsidise it with the money from the charity, but it's becoming a little bit more difficult because the funding's been reduced.
Mm. Good luck with the work you're doing, Joshua. It sounds really crucial. Stay in touch. Let's finish the show with the story we were covering in the first hour, which is Sir Jim Ratcliffe's comments. Some of his facts and figures wrong, the one about unemployment benefit right, the language, though, at best, dubious. Does he need to say sorry? Ada in Victoria, London, makes a good point. Did the PM apologise for his Island of Strangers speech? Shouldn't be a surprise if other people continue with a similar sentiment. If he didn't, and does apologise for saying that, he's in a weaker position to ask other people to do the same. That is a good point, Ada. Jennifer in Ealing. Jennifer, your view. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. This is just a thought. why does the Prime Minister sort of these throwaway remarks and just to get everybody talking, as you might say, but not doing very much. Why doesn't he have a meaningful conversation, meet up with Mr. Radcliffe, have a meaningful conversation, go around the country with him to see what he's talking about, and then perhaps, you know, decide for himself if the man has got anything, credible to say.
Do you think the Prime Minister
never meets the ordinary man in the street, never. He's always has well. Contrived... meetings, you know, at social clubs and things with a picked audience. Mm. He never goes out to meet Joe Public.
What do you think, if he did go out, with or without Sir Jim, and he did go out to meet ordinary folk, what do you think they would be telling him in this area, Jennifer?
Exactly the same.
Sorry, exactly the same as what Radcliffe is saying?
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, the trouble is...
Would you use the word colonisation, though, Jennifer?
I don't know whether that's the right word or not, but you've only got to go, I mean, for years and years, and I don't say there's anything wrong with it necessarily, because it's a cultural thing, but you've only got to take Southall, that for years and years and years has had a certain, you know, demographic in it that will always be. Southall is always known, you know, for the change that has become Southall,
yes,
but
yes.
It's actually a tourist attraction almost. So there, you know, there might be some credibility to what Mr. Radcliffe is saying, and that's been. But most of these places aren't sort of very cultural. Only they're not mixed at all.
I think integration is the key. That is the problem. And again, I speak as someone who, and I don't know South, I do know it, I've been there, but I know Leicester pretty well. Jennifer, thank you. I think final word on this for me. I'm sure my colleagues could take him. Peter and Stirling. Peter, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Peter.
I'll start on a lighter note. That 58 million figure, I think, weird enough, the 2020 population of England was close to that, so maybe he thinks England and the UK are the same thing.
Okay. You'd have thought someone of his business success would get his figures right, but there we go. You're broadly to what he was saying.
So basically, I think we need to stop listening to him. I think we need to stop listening to Starmer, to other people. It's hypocrisy. We have a Scrooge who hides away in Monaco dodging taxes.
A Scrooge.
Look at all the cuts he did to, like, his frontline staff.
Oh, I see what you mean. Right,
We have a Prime Minister who used the Island of Strangers speech and believes anyone, admonishing him. And then even earlier, Mel Stride, indirectly... Where were his words on Suella Braverman when she said that we're being invaded?
Mm.
He has problems with words like colonisation, but he doesn't have problems with words like that. We're not an island of strangers, we're an island of hypocrites.
Peter, thank you. David in Southampton, yours will be the last word, I sense. David, good morning.
I think Radcliffe is right. The country has been colonised. He found a very good word to describe what's happened.
It's an offensive word for a lot of people.
No, it isn't. It's not offensive at all. It's just a describing...
Do you not accept what some of my earlier callers have said, which is the people who've arrived here, they actually maintain the country, David. They keep it going.
Right, but it's not offensive. I mean, it's not a good thing that, let's say, you've got people who've phoned in saying migrants are running the country, are running the NHS.
Well,
that's not a good thing. It shouldn't be like that.
Well, we wouldn't have an NHS if they weren't...
Yeah, but we shouldn't have ended up in that situation. We should never have ended up in that situation anyway.
When the call went out for people to come and help, literally to drive the buses in this country, to make the country work in post-war Britain, had they not turned up, God only knows where we might be. But, David, thank you. It's a view, and I sense this one will continue probably with most of my colleagues through the course of the day. Will he offer that apology? Stay tuned. Now, if you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinion. Download the app for free from your app store now. That's it for me on LBC. James O'Brien's The Other Side of the News. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock. And, of course, it's not a debate. How many times have we sat here recently and pointed out that you don't debate facts? Jim Ratcliffe is categorically wrong about immigration. He's factually wrong. He's statistically wrong. He's intellectually wrong. He is also morally wrong. Unless, of course, he was talking about the Norman Conquest in 1066, in which case some of his comments may have some form of salience. If he wasn't, and he wasn't, then they don't. But... my learned colleagues right across this so-called profession will spend today, everywhere, from the BBC down, will spend today pretending that it's debatable, pretending that it's an argument, pretending that somebody speaking undiluted racist gibberish might actually have a point. Oh, boy.
On your radio, on the LBC app and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Andy Burnham has added to criticism of Manchester United co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe's comments about immigration. Sir Jim claimed the UK has been colonised by immigrants. The mayor of Greater Manchester has called the remarks inaccurate, insulting and inflammatory. The Liberal Democrat deputy leader Daisy Cooper has told LBC Sir Jim should apologise.
We can have a debate about immigration. We can have a debate about the asylum system. We can have a debate about skills training and how that interacts with immigration numbers and all the rest of it. But having the debate is very separate from the language that we use. And I think that the language that he used was inappropriate.
A 13-year-old boy has been charged with attempted murder over a double stabbing at a school in northwest London. The attack happened on Tuesday. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight has more details.
The teenager, who can't be named because of his age, is accused of trying to kill a 12 and a 13-year-old boy, as well as spraying a third child with insect spray at Kingsbury High in Brent. Counter-terrorism police are continuing to investigate the attack, and the 13-year-old is due in court later this morning.
The UK's economy grew by 0.1% in the final quarter of last year. The Office for National Statistics says 2025 was a year of subdued growth. Draft legislation to clamp down on foreign funding of political parties is being brought to the Commons by the government today. The Electoral Commission will be given more powers to impose fines of up to £500,000 on those that breach the funding rules. The bill will also extend voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds in all UK elections. And a Ukrainian skeleton athlete has been disqualified from the Winter Olympics because of his helmet. It featured pictures of people killed in the war with Russia. Vladislav Heraskaskovich said that he wouldn't compromise on the issue. The International Olympic Committee ruled it went against its rules on political statements. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 32 at 10,504. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with rain moving northwards. Scotland and northern England will see some patchy rain and hill snow at times, a high of 12 degrees. From Global's newsroom, the LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Tesco Finest Sourdough. The real breadwinner. Untoasted, really toasted. Or buttered right to the edges. Whatever floats your toast, it's delicious either way. It's why only the finest bakers take 24 hours to carefully craft our sourdough. Make your everyday taste better with Tesco Finest. Majority of larger stores.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after ten and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Just a couple of funny facts, if that's the right word to choose. My cursory research into these matters, and it has been very cursory, has revealed that the population of Monaco stands just shy of 40,000, of whom about 8,000 are Monégasque, as in native. Monégasque is the word for what we would probably lazily and monoglottishly describe as Monacan or something like that. So if you wanted to talk about a territory where the native-born population is horribly outnumbered, if that is the kind of language you like, or just massively outnumbered, if you want to confine yourself to facts rather than feelings, then Monaco, where Jim Ratcliffe is in fact an immigrant, would be absolutely top of the list. And, of course, the other element of his ludicrous comments are, or display, complete ignorance of what colonised means, complete ignorance of our economy and the relationship between immigration and wage growth, and complete ignorance about the actual numbers. The statistics that he cites are completely wrong. If he was that wrong when putting together some of the chemicals that he has made his fortune from selling, then people would probably die. Ignorance kills in many fields. In this particular field, talking about immigration, well, of course it can kill.
racism, as we know. I was in court yesterday to see the latest case being brought against a British newspaper, and it involves the mother of a man who was killed by racism, or by racists. Doreen Lawrence is one of the people bringing the case against the Daily Mail group. I'll tell you a little bit more about what I saw in court yesterday later in the programme. But it's just worth noting that if Sir Jim Ratcliffe were displaying such absolute ignorance in other fields, nobody would be sitting here wondering whether he might perhaps have a point. And that's where we've come to now. Here is somebody saying something very racist, very wrong, very unpleasant and very offensive. Shall I now take calls from people who are completely unaffected by his comments, who want to argue that it's not offensive at all? No. Shall I now take calls from people who want to completely ignore the fact that this is racist, wrong, and factually stupid, and pretend that it isn't, or does he perhaps have a point? I mean, what would you have to say to set that phoning up? Well, he's wrong about the facts, and he's wrong about the reality, but he has a point, doesn't he? What does that mean? Should we dig into that first this morning? Well, he's wrong about the facts, and he's wrong about the numbers, and he's wrong about the people, and he's wrong about the country, but he kind of has a point, doesn't he? Well, what point does he have? You know what point he has. You may be nodding along with it. You may be absolutely welcoming the people who allow you to pretend that this is anything other than what you know in your, what passes for your soul. You know what this is. This is an invitation to articulate the fact that when you see a face that isn't white, you don't like it. That's all this is. Should Jim Ratcliffe apologise? Does Jim Ratcliffe have a point? Every other phone-in on the planet will be dancing around this simple fact. Give me a ring and admit to me that you don't like seeing non-white faces. That would be the only honest phone-in to have in the context of these comments. With people who are not, of course, directly affected by racism. A long queue of white people who would be poised to argue either that this isn't offensive or that he has a point. He doesn't have a point. How can you tell whether someone's an immigrant or not just by looking at them? Oh, wait. Seriously, how can you tell? You can't. So how can you tell? Who's he talking about? He's not talking about people he's counted because his numbers are absolutely bogus. Oh, yeah, of course, Oh, yeah, that must be an immigrant because they're not white. Can't be English if you're brown. Rishi Sunak can't be English was a recent radio phone-in elsewhere. These are not debates. These are invitations to racists to articulate things in public that they've been too ashamed to say out loud for a generation. The triumph of what was called political correctness was that these words, these languages, these attitudes were excised from public discourse. They were confined to the dark corners of UKIP meetings or Nigel Farage's sitting room. They were not permitted, they were certainly not welcomed into polite society. The idea that a conservative politician could complain about the number of non-white faces he saw on the streets of a British city would have been a sackable offence under every single conservative leader since at least Ted Heath and probably Macmillan, but not under Cammy Badenoch. You're just seeing the erosion of decency in this country at the moment, and the ultimate irony is that the people doing it are the people most responsible for many of the problems that we're currently facing, because Jim Ratcliffe was, wait for it, a Brexiter. So inflicting economic damage upon a country he no longer lives in to go to help colonise Monaco by outnumbering the actual native residents by a ratio of about 4-1, and then offering up a statistically illiterate description of the United Kingdom. And, I don't know, sitting back and lighting a cigar while the erosion of decency in this country moves one notch further. Oh, give me a ring and tell me how racist you are on a scale of 1 to 10. Is that the phone-in? Give me a ring and tell me how upset you are when you see a brown face on the television.